and the truth
will make you free.
ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
Monday call with John Darash. If you'd like to join us in the chat room over it, go to shakeandwakeradio.com. Scroll down, and if you have any questions for John, you can type them in all caps. And we'll do our best to get John to answer the questions. John Darash will be with us any moment. We'd like to thank everybody for supporting National Liberty Alliance. You can check out their website at nationallibertyalliance.com.
Thank you,
Or is
Rick.
It .org?
Well, it's both, but .org is what we put out there, but we do have .com,
there you go.
Too.
National
and I think
Liberty
we have .net
Alliance.
Also.
.org.
So, but right, anyway, good evening, everyone. Welcome to NLA's weekly call. Today is Monday, October... Goodness, what is today? The 20th already. Wow. October 20th, 2014. All right, let's start off with a reading from God's Word, and then we'll get right into things. We're going to look today at Proverbs chapter 3. We read, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his correction. For whom Jehovah loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all thy paths are peace. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Jehovah, by wisdom, hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down, and down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked, when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Okay, that was the reading of the word, Proverbs chapter 3. Okay, I guess we'll just real quickly, I'm just going to mention a few states or names here, and we're trying to prepare for filing our papers. I think we're going to go with what we've got now. We still lack a little bit, but hopefully by the time we get the printing going, we will be maybe pick up another state or two. But a few things we do lack. Ann from South Carolina, I was wondering if you got the P.O. box yet. I didn't notice anything in my email, but I could have missed it. So if you did get that, send me another email or a message or something. And if you're here, maybe you can just get on and let me know. Flora from Nevada, we still don't have a P.O. box yet. I'm not sure whether Flora has been active. I do see Teresa, is that, from Nevada. And so anyway, maybe they might want to take over Nevada, make sure things go. But we don't have a P.O. box from Nevada yet. We do have seals from both South Carolina and Nevada. Linda from New Mexico. Okay, I know we got a P.O. box from you recently, so that's good. I'm wondering what the status of the seal is. I don't know if New Mexico's got a seal yet. So we're anticipating South Carolina, Nevada, and New Mexico to be on board. The two states that we have still have a struggle in is Kentucky and Alaska. And if we have to, we'll go forward without them. That gives us 48 states. We have to move. I don't think we can wait anymore. I'd like to target for next Monday. I don't know that we'll be able to reach next Monday, but maybe it'll be Tuesday. It depends on how fast we can get all the paperwork going and moving and printed and then mailed out. And we'll know more of a target date. Obviously, the moment the lead coordinators get the information in their P.O. boxes, and we'll put out an email as soon as that's happening, as soon as it's moving in the mail, but as soon as they get it at their P.O. boxes, they will then send it out as soon as they get it, hopefully that day or the day after. But, you know, within 24 hours or so, need to get that out. But we'll be preparing for that. We'll send out some emails concerning the status of that once we get moving. I'll be talking with a couple of people probably tomorrow, and I think we should be able to tie things up, and we'll get the amounts that each state's going to have to send in. And I think it's going to be about $30 or $40 a piece, somewhere around there. And then we'll just take it from there. Okay. Sheriff's campaign. We're in the middle of a sheriff's campaign. We want to notify the sheriffs that the people are behind them in whatever is coming down. But the main thing is really to get a copy of the jurist handbook and also a constitution handbook. So we're in a campaign right now to get that done. Some states have completed. I think a lot of other states have completed and they haven't told me yet, but we need to know whether you've completed that project or not. Again, go to the state lead coordinators need to go to the contact page and just put in your information and just say we're done with our sheriff's campaign. It's out, or we're sending it out on Wednesday, whatever date that is, or whatever the situation may be. But let's get that going. We have to prime the sheriffs. We have to start getting them a little educated, and the best way is to get them those handbooks. Media campaign, we spoke about that. We're going to be pushing a real big drive soon. We do have someone that has taken over organizing and orchestrating the media campaign. So hopefully in the next few days we'll be a lot more organized on that, and we'll start to get some information out. On our website, we do have a page under media. If you highlight media and you click on media campaign, you'll see there is where we'll be posting all of our information. Okay. And we'll be doing it by list. For instance, we'll have a YouTube campaign, and any YouTubes that we develop that are getting the message out, we'll want everybody that can go out here and you know, get the YouTube URL and send this information out in email. We need to get a viral going on our information here. Got to get it going, virus. We also have a Facebook campaign. We're going to be posting different things that we'd like people to be posting on their Facebooks. We also have a Twitter campaign. Again, all this information will be on this page, and we're going to ask everybody, once we start moving this campaign forward, we're going to ask everybody to do a little bit every day. If everybody can, you know, spend time sending out emails in the morning or in the evening, every morning or every evening, or whenever it is that you usually check your email, and maybe have time, 10, 15 minutes or whatever it might take to get the messages out. We're going to ask everyone to tweet every day, and again, we'll put as many types of messages that we can up there for that. We also are going after local newspapers, and we're building a campaign for that, and news blogs online, and whatever else we could put together. So the time for the word to go out, and it needs to be going out very, very hard, very, very strong, while or when we start mailing out these mailings to the courts. And again, for anybody that's new, we'll be mailing a quo warranto out to the court. It's going out from every state, every unified state common law grand jury. They'll be mailing a copy of the quo warranto to every district court within their state and every federal judge within their state. Every state will be doing that at the same time across America, and the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will be doing the same thing, but the exception, we're not going to send to the judges. The last time we did that, it cost us quite a bit. It was like $6,000 for that particular campaign. It was very expensive, but it was well worth it. It put them on call, and really, I think we got the response that we expected to get, which was good, really. Even though they didn't respond in a way to open the doors and sign the papers, they remained silent. And if you can't get them to do what you want them to do, as long as they're silent, that's good. That means they don't know what to do, and it means they're frightened. And very well they should be. So that particular, you know, mailing went pretty good. We expect this mailing to really push it over the top. But we will be, from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, we will be mailing out to every federal district court in America. So the states will be mailing it out to every the federal district court in their state, and the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury will be mailing it out to every federal district across America. I think it's something like 192 or something like that, federal court districts that we have to deal with. Let's see. Also, if we do not get Kentucky and Alaska on board by then, which I suspect we're not going to, but, you know, who knows? Maybe someone's here tonight that would like to pick up working Kentucky and someone to pick up working Alaska. But if we don't get anyone for those two states, then we will send out to all the judges in those two states from the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. This way, every judge in America will get they'll get the call. You know what I mean? And this should really kind of rock their boat, because, you know, they're unsure exactly what to think of us, I think. I don't think they understand that we have organized across the nation, and we are organizing in every state, and we do have a presence in every state. We have a seal for every state. We have an address for every state, save two. And I think when they see that and they see the postmarks, I think they're really going to go into cardiac arrest, and rightly so. But again, we're offering them an out. All they have to do is just to be obedient from this point forward. We're not interested in a witch hunt. We're just here trying to bring justice back into America, into our courts, and we want to save our republic. Step aside and let the people come do what they got to do. We're not out on a witch hunt. As long as they do the right thing from this point forward, they're good with us. Of course, unless someone has a complaint against them, and that has to be dealt with somehow. But in any event, we're not out on a witch hunt. Health issues. I'd like to cover something really quick. I wanted to do something before tonight's program, but I just didn't have the time yet. But we're going to put something together
John,
shortly.
Do you think if you succeed, can we make Satanism against the law and stop prosecuting these people? Cut the legs off the CIA?
Well, I'll tell
really
you, you know.
I think that, you know, people sacrificing people, I'm kind of on a witch hunt, and so are the
right.
people who know what
well,
they
look,
do.
Well, look, any evil that's taken place will be found out, and any injuries
and
that have happened,
they'll
be done by injuries. I mean, people can worship the rock if they want. They can worship Satan if they
right,
want.
But when they harm
but just
and
don't
abduct
be hurting another
children.
Individual. Exactly.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. So, but they'll be found out, and they'll never get away with it. Some people may think they're going to get away with this, but then they have to deal with the Lord on Judgment Day. So, but in any event, health. I want to talk just a few minutes about health. We do have a health page for those who don't know about this. If you go up to nationallibertyalliance.org, and if you highlight media, you'll see today's issues. Then highlight today's issues, and you'll see health issues on that page, a drop-down box for health issues. And if you click on that, you'll get a lot of different things on different cures out there for different problems and diseases. Today's big thing that they're pushing is this Ebola stuff, and so there should be a lot of concern. But I think they're trying to make us dull to it. They seem to be putting... I'm ignoring it at this point. But every day there seems to be more and more cases. Seems to be more and more things happening. The news is full of it. They keep talking about it. So they're building up to something. It doesn't become dangerous until it becomes airborne. Ebola can become airborne. I believe that they've got an airborne disease in Ebola already. That's what I think, and I think that they're going to release it, but we'll see. Nevertheless, there are cures and there are preventions. Right, stay away from those vaccines, because that'll probably have the Ebola virus in it. Maybe not in the beginning, but at some point they'll stop pumping it out. In any event, these people are evil that have taken over our government, and we need to seize them back, and it's a very simple process once we get into the courts on how we can take this whole process back, this whole business back. But anyway, colloidal silver is the key to prevention of just about any virus out there. I don't think there's a virus on earth that colloidal silver couldn't help your body to fight against. And so we'll talk about that, where to get to. You could buy colloidal silver in any health store. But it does get rather expensive. You could buy the machines. I went out and bought a machine a while back, and you could make quite a bit of that. So if one person, if a bunch of people chipped in and bought a machine, they can then create their own and make plenty. I'm buying a case of mason jars, and I'll be filling those up. They're good for wounds. The one that I have does also, I think it's called Nano colloidal silver, something like that. I think that one's best for wounds, but the regular colloidal silver I think is best for taking it into your body. One of the problems with drinking it, you can't really drink it because as soon as it hits your stomach, acid, it destroys it, and it doesn't have any value. So you have to take some drops, maybe a drop of fill, put it under your tongue. That's one way to take it. But one of the best ways to take it, particularly for what we're concerned with, would be to breathe it in. So you get, I think it's called the nebulizer. You put it into an ounce or a half ounce or something into a little cup. We'll write it up on how you might want to do that. You might want to put a drop of oregano oil, which is a natural what do you call it? Antibiotic, and you might want to put a drop of eucalyptus in there, and then you breathe it in. If you put about the half the cup that comes with it, and I think that's a half ounce, I don't know, whatever it is, it might take you 4 or 5 minutes to breathe it in. And if you did that every day, you would be on a prevention. I would do it if I went out. I'd do it every evening when you come home from being out. I would do that. That to get the whole family to do it, especially when it hits your area, if Ebola hits your area. But even all these other viruses that they've got going on out there that they want you to take these shots for, this will kill it. This will prevent it, and it'll kill it as long as you get it in time. You got to get it, of course, before an organ is destroyed. But so we'll put that information out. We'll put out information where you can buy this machine. I know mine costs $495. And like I said, if five or six or more people get together and buy the machine, you got someone pumping it out and put it in mason jars, and you know you have plenty of it around. But mason jars, you know, breathing, using a mason jar to store it, and it's the storage is long term. So, but if you put it in a mason jar, one of the big mason jars, goodness, even with a large family, it'll probably last you a year. I mean, you're only taking a small bit every day. They're breathing it into the lungs and goes right into the bloodstream and, of course, the lungs. And, of course, you know, you'd want some in case you got a wound or something to help
heal the
wound very
quickly.
For
those who don't know it, John.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, a mason jar is, you find that where you find canning equipment. It's one
right.
of the mason jars that it's got a lid on it that has a seal. Like when you open up a jar of planters, peanuts, or whatever. So if you're looking for that, you know, you'd find it where you'd find canning equipment and stuff. You can buy like a whole case of smaller jars and stuff.
Right. Yeah, and if you go to, you know, if you have a really big drugstore, you know, a store that sells a lot of different things and cards and, you know, a drugstore type thing, usually they'll sell cases of the mason jars. That's where I buy mine. You know, they sell them in a drugstore nearby me. But yeah, you'll find them. If you have to, you can buy them online, Google it, and you can have it delivered. And it's pretty cheap. They're not expensive. But anyway, this is something we need to prepare for, just like preparing for food. People should have plenty of food. They should have a water source. You should have MMS. MMS, you could buy a 1 pound bag of MMS goodness, I don't want to call it crystal. It's not crystal form, but it's a powdered form, I guess you'd call it. And for the MMS, I think it costs for a pound, goodness, $3.95. I buy it by the case. I think there's, I don't know, there's 12 or 24 bags in there, pound bags. I mean, 1 pound bag will last you for forever because you're only going to put them in these little capsules. But anyway, MMS is great also for curing all kinds of problems. It works on cancer. It works on numerous different diseases. And also, it will kill the bug if you get the, you know, if you come into contact with the Ebola. And I'll talk with Gerard, and maybe we'll write a page up to give more kinds of ideas and information that people and things that people should have in their homes in case of these kind of emergencies, because it does seem to be this seems to be the emergency they're going to try to push on us, you know, and they'll try to lock us down because everybody's got it, you know. So anyway, I guess that's it, all I have to share for the moment. So I guess we'll go and we'll open the mics up. So let's go to, and again, hopefully next Monday we're going to read the writ of Quo Vanto that we're sending out. I think if we don't have it mailing out Monday, it should be going out hopefully Tuesday or Wednesday. Again, timing is all what it's going to be. But as long as we know the mailing is going out, we'll probably read the Quo Vanto on Monday and we'll post it. And then we'll just take it from there. But anyway, let's take our first caller now. We got Marge from California. How you doing, Marge? Go right ahead.
Hey, John. A couple things occurred to me, and I just wanted to straighten it out. You know, how about anonymity for a grand jury? You know, in today's grand juries, you don't just call up Joe and Mary, the grand jury, you know, and they've got their number. There's a lot of anonymity connected with that, and I'm wondering just how it's going to be when the four administrators for each county walks into the job, and, you know, we're not going to walk in there high profile, that's for sure, but how does that anonymity work around the four people that will be doing the job?
Well, remember, the four people are four administrators. They're not the grand jury. They're not going to be sitting on a grand jury. But all they are is just taking over the job of the people that haven't been doing their job. Although they've been doing their job for themselves, they've been calling these people up and fixing the juries so that they don't get convicted of all the crimes that they commit. They make sure they're very well protected. And they make sure the cases go right because they fix every jury, every trial jury, and every grand jury. They violate them constantly. Our names will be known. We could get away with just giving them our first name. You know, we're going to get funded, and we've gone through some of that. I don't know. We'll get into more detail of that openly later, but we have gone through this with the leadership of how we plan to go through the process and how we're going to get in and how things work. But, you know, once we get in, you know, you could just be by your first name. They don't need to know your last name. After all, we do become targets for that, but I don't think that we're going to be a target at that point. When we move in force across the nation, people all over the place, moving into these positions in every county across America, I think the last thing they're going to do is come after us. Now, between now and then, we are on a grand jury. We've already made decisions.
Right.
And nobody knows who showed up for those meetings. We don't keep a record of them, but we do know, like the last one we had, we had quite a few people. And I know whoever signs for New York, and it's pretty much the other places, do your quick signature, so to speak. Don't do a signature that's legible, you know. I've got a signature that I use very rarely that's very legible, okay. But my normal signature, you can't read it from Adam because I sign so many things all day long that I just have a quick signature. And unless my name is printed below it, you wouldn't know who it was. But nevertheless, it's a person. And, of course, we have the seal, and we're not going to print anyone's name, and they're not going to get a name, and you don't give them a name. Why? Because we're not going to become their targets, okay? And once the people, once we're in there, the only people who will know the names of the jurists and the grand jurists are those four administrators. We're not giving a name out to anybody for any reason. And so the only thing they'll get is at the end you'll get a signature that'll go onto the record with the jury foreman.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I think it'll be a lot safer. It's not going to be a problem where people will become targets. I think at that point, there's no doubt, the lights will be turned on. All these cockroaches and rats will be hiding under rocks and in dark corners. So I don't think it's anything for us to worry about.
Okay. Well, John, is it my understanding that you know, we're going to be training and working with the 25 people that will be participating in the grand juries? Okay, now when a statutory jury is formed from the electorate, then
no, that's wrongdoing. That can't go on. No, we won't permit that.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean everything is going to be done with
They can never have a. They cannot have a statutory grand jury. They cannot have a statutory trial jury. It's a wrongdoing. It's evil. It's deceptive. It's fraud. They're
coming in to fraud
people. We'll put everyone in jail if we have to. We'll indict everyone. They'll all go to jail. I can't say we'll put them
in jail. Maybe I did my question wrong. I shouldn't have used the word statutory because not every jury is going to be a grand jury. There are going to be juries chosen from the electorate also, which we as the administrators have to make sure, you know, are untampered and legitimate and totally working, you know, the proper way. Is that not correct?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question or if you understand how things work, but there's only two types of grand jurist. There's only one kind of grand jurist, only one, and that comes from the people, and that has to be under common law only. Nothing else can exist, and we won't permit anything else to exist because it would be a wrongdoing to the person being indicted. We can't allow that people to be put in jail without an injured party and so on. But as far as jurists go, there are two types of jurists. There is the common law jurist that would be picked out from the people, And then there is the elected jurist, which would be the judge. And they, the judges rule, the judges act as one single jurist in an equity court. In a court of law, then then the trial goes by jury, and that's 12 jurists. And those, that's picked out from the people at random, you know, out of a pool. And so those are the only two jurists and only one grand jurist that I'm aware of. I don't know of any other.
Well, maybe I just don't understand how the setup is. And as we go into the 120-hour course, maybe
it'll clear things up a bit. And,
yeah.
You know, look, at the 120-hour course is really going to give us history on American history. It's going to give us history of the grand jury, of the jury itself. It's going to give us the common law. It's going to give us some process and procedures, I think. I don't remember if that's in there, but I think there is some of that. And so we've got a lot of things we put together for that purpose, and it's really to give us a rounded understanding and appreciation of what it is we're doing. Now, there is also I don't know what you would call it, sort of a course. I guess it's a course. It'll be instructional videos. And anybody that's become an administrator will have to watch those instructional videos. And some of it will be in PDFs, just writing. Some of it will be an instructional video with a PDF, you know. And they'll give us the instructions and the details on how each different things work as you go through. So we're going to try to cover all the bases so that people will know what they need to do and how to set things up and how to take authority and go into the courts. And we'll give some instruction on writing a true bill and how that works and what the framework of that is. We'll have instructions on all these things. And that'll be in addition to the 120 hours.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get to that point, I think everyone will pretty well understand what it is. Now, as far as pulling a grand jury together, a grand jury can't sit for any longer than a week or two. Once they'll hear cases for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Maybe they'll be in a situation where there's a case that they have to hear a lot of things for it, and it'll be this week, that week, and the next week. So we may call a grand jury just for one case that may meet five or six times over the course of a month. And so they'll have to come 6 days out of the month into that. Or you get another grand jury who will sit and they'll just be listening all day to a case, to cases after case after case for a week, maybe even 2 weeks. But I don't think much longer than that. Trial jury, of course, obviously, every trial you call the jury. Now, they don't get to get rid of the jurors. You pull the jury out of a pool, that's what they get. If they have a conflict of interest in the case, then then we'll remove them. If someone says, "Well, wait a second, this guy here knows Joe Smith, who's a brother of the person who this is happening to, or whatever the case may be," well, then we would obviously, make sure that we don't want to be tainted, so we'd remove that person from serving. But they don't get to do some psychological evaluation of the people. They don't get to play a chess game. They don't get to have them fill out some stupid questionnaire that tells them, all this silliness. We're not going to get involved in that. We're not going to allow that. That's a wrongdoing. We're going to pull the people out of a pool they're going to serve. Unless someone has a reason, good reason why there's a conflict of interest with some of these people, then we'll just change them.
Okay, yeah.
So,
well, that helps, John.
Okay, anything else?
That's it. It's a process, and everything will be opened up as we do it step by step.
Yeah, we'll get it, and look, we're going to do it together, and we're going to do it, we're coming in as a unified grand jury, and so everything we're doing, we're going to learn united, together.
Right.
We'll be doing it all at the same time. It'll be really important to come to the meetings at that point to make sure, at least one person from every county, to make sure we get the job done right, and we're all doing the same thing to get this nation back under the control of the people again.
Exactly. John, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Marge. Okay, let's go to the next person. Is this Teresa from Nevada? Someone from Nevada. Go right ahead.
Hello, that would be Trisha, as in Patricia.
Trisha. Oh,
thank
Patricia.
You.
How you doing,
and,
Patricia?
I talked with you last week about the opportunity to do a radio interview, so to speak, and actually just an informational giving. And the gentleman called back and gave me, you know, what his idea was to get the purpose and approach and how this was significant reference, a grassroots movement. And I believe that this will be an excellent opportunity to present what the common law grand jury movement is about and garner additional support and for folks to go to the website and become more involved. So I did get in touch with Charlie, because I know you're very busy, John, and so I got in touch with Charlie from Colorado and went through my my script, which was taken from the first sheriff's letter pretty much, and am prepared to do this and do it according to what would be honorable not only to the Lord, but also to the common law grand juries in NLA. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to, and also James has stepped up to volunteer to be part of the state coordinator team, and we now have a post office box for Nevada, so I can give
that
Nevada to you as
great.
Well. Flora
great,
has not
yeah, I do need I do need the post office box,
it is.
And I do know that you guys, I believe you guys already have the seal.
We have the seal, but the post office box is what you don't have, and James just got that late last week, so I wanted to give that to you as well. It is P.O. Box 20263. And that's Reno.
20263?
Correct. And that's Reno.
Reno.
And it's 89515.
89515?
15, correct. Yes.
Okay. And it's
And then another lady, Juanita, is stepping up to work as part of that state coordinator team as well. So, and she has a lot of contacts throughout the state, so we're very excited about that.
Okay,
so,
make sure that all these people that they send me, you know, who's the lead state coordinator right now?
Well, Flora is, but because of her work schedule, she's had to go back to work, and she's working 3 to, like, 1 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, so she can't do what, and she's also actually living in Arizona as opposed to Nevada, so she has
so someone
a lot
else
of the,
should take the lead, though. Someone
yes,
else should take
James,
the lead.
James
still
has,
stay there. Okay.
James has stepped up to that plate, as has Juanita. So they're going to be working as a team along with Flora, as she can, too. So we're getting much more leadership, and it's very exciting to see things moving in that direction.
All right. Tell James to go out to the contact page. Just go out to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on contacts. And down on the bottom, there's a form. And fill out the form, and then in the message area, just say, "I am the state coordinator, the lead state coordinator for Nevada, and here's my email address and my phone number, and please add these other people and give me their name, their email, and their phone numbers, and we'll add them onto the list."
Excellent, excellent. He is listening on the call. I just wanted to get on and mention this to you because of the program tomorrow. And again, like I said, I went through the script with Charlie, and she was real pleased with what we came up with.
Okay.
So,
now, that
and
is
I hope
program,
to get a recording.
Is that with me or with someone else that's going to do the interviewing?
I will be doing it.
Okay, but I mean, are you interviewing me or Charlie or someone
else? No. This interview is this gentleman who does just the facts and is doing a series on grassroots organizations for people to affect change in our country. So that's what it's about. And I feel very confident that we will have an opportunity to do a very good positive
Okay, so who's going to represent the position? Who's going to talk, you or
I am. I'm going
you.
To be doing
okay.
that. Yes.
All right.
But
and
I'm
you
using...
feel good about... Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Very good. And I'll be using, like I say, the NLA material and things that have been put out there pretty much and my understanding
from
the
study.
Yeah,
the key thing is to make sure you realize that the points we're trying to make is we're doing... Nobody has done what we're doing. Some people say, oh, that's done before. Oh, yeah, we tried that. That didn't work. No, no, we're not out there making grand juries like those people were doing. We're creating the whole process and the system for the administration in every single courthouse across America, because that's the only way this job's going to get done. And and so that's the key thing that these people need to know. And it's grassroots. It's every county. It's the people of their counties across America.
Right.
You know, it's not a group of people trying to take over anything.
Yes, absolutely, and doing it in a proper, peaceful, lawful manner to get things back in line as they should be. So thank you. And again, thank you for sharing the Ebola information. I have had a nanocolloidal silver generator for years and considered it a ministry to give it out to people as well. And it is very effective with Ebola and many things, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And
just about anything out there that any kind of a viral thing or any kind of a bug, I mean, it's just going to kill it.
Yes, it's excellent. And then I wanted to also compliment you on the habeas corpus for, oh, God bless him, Terry, down there, and find out if we have any further information on the progress regarding Terry.
They just got it today, and so they should be going, they should be having trouble sleeping tonight. I would imagine they should anyway.
Good.
They don't know better enough. And we're going to see what's going to happen. They got till Wednesday.
Okay, great. Very good. We'll all be praying then. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, are you familiar with the, I don't know if they call it allodial copper, but there's something with copper. It sort of does the same thing. You know, you create it by putting a certain charge into water with a copper. Are you familiar with that?
I'm not. I know it's done with the silver wires for the nanocolloidal silver, but I wouldn't think the copper would be any different.
This copper thing is pretty big, and I'm just learning about it. I don't have enough knowledge to speak on it yet. I mean, even the colloidal silver, I'm minimum on that. But I just
mentioned something.
Yeah,
we have an all-natural show hosted by Tina Elaine with Dr. Mark Severance. It's on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern. He strongly objects. Okay, he's an actual doctor, and he's into homeopathic cures for a long time. And Tina and him are both about as close as you can become to experts. Stay away from the nano. Mm-hmm. He said, "Don't touch
right.
the
it
nano."
It seems
you
that
can look
the nano
in the chat
is good.
Room.
I think the nano is good mostly for wounds. I think that's where that works well. I had read the same thing.
Well, yeah, he was talking about it on the show.
Yeah,
and I just heard him mention that, and I just wanted to, you know, because I don't, it can cause problems. He was talking about it on the show.
All right.
Yeah, I would.
Is there a recording
of
that show?
I would check out To Your Health Naturally. Tina Elaine is going to drop the link for her Facebook page, and I'm going to be getting her the archive of the most recent show to put up on the page. But yeah, I would go for just the regular colloidal silver, not the nano.
Ask him if he can try to Skype me. Give him my Skype name and ask him when he gets time to Skype me. I'd like to get talking with him and pull Gerard in and a few other people that have knowledge.
Yeah,
in this
well, Gerard is welcome to be a guest on Tina's show, and yeah, you can discuss certain stuff like that with her. I'll give you Tina Elaine's Skype in a few moments.
All right. Just drop it in my box and I'll get it. So, okay, let's get back to this. Okay, so anyway, we're going to be looking into I think it might be called allodial copper also, you know. And it's something that really, a lot of amazing things. I'm not even going to talk about it yet because I don't have enough knowledge, but I think we'll put something together on that. Gerard shared it with me. And I was listening to some audios on it. We're going to post the audios we have on it. Very powerful stuff. And we'll get some information on that, too. We have to be prepared on anything these people can throw at us. I think they're going to go biological. And this is the way I think they're going to come out after us. But this copper thing is, wow, something everybody needs to do also, I think. But anyway, anything else, Tricia?
Well, just to say that grounding, getting out barefoot in with Mother Earth and having that exchange of electrons and is very de-stressing and excellent for your health as well. So.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you. Appreciate so much being part of this good team.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thanks for joining up with us. All right, let's take the next caller. And by the way, anybody who hasn't yet bought, you know, handbooks, you need to get handbooks. We need to get them out into the streets. So you can go up to nationallibertyalliance.org on the right side. You'll see the front cover of the handbook and click on it, and you can order handbooks. We should be taking credit cards, I think, Wednesday. That's what I'm told by the bank. So, I mean, we are taking orders through the mail, though, until then. And we'll continue to always take orders through the mail. But we should be able to take credit cards, hopefully starting Wednesday. Anthony from West Virginia.
Hey, how you doing,
how you
John?
Doing? Good. What's up?
Good. Remember, I had a couple of questions last Thursday, and I just asked one of them. I've got another one here we can go with.
Okay.
If I can get back to it. I had it open, but I couldn't manipulate my phone because the information's right in my phone. I have to pay attention to that. Now it's going. Give me a second here. I'll get it right back.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, question number two. How will NLA an educational website? I mean, we choose to call ourselves an educational website.
Right, we're just a facilitator.
How will NLA, an educational website, hope to instruct and qualify anyone for administrator or jurist or secretarial position without establishing itself as the supreme authority for that purpose?
Well, because here's what we're going to do. We're the people who are coming in and understanding, and this is what our lesson should teach us concerning wrongdoing and natural law. And people have to educate themselves. Only an informed, educated people can save America. And so we have to become educated. We have to become informed. And if we go to the regular routine of having rules and getting someone up there with a hammer becomes the chairman, before you know it, there'll be takeovers and we'll have all these egos running around and controlling everything because that's what they do. We're not going that route. There's a much, much better way to go, and that is to let God be king. And that's why I bring up God often. If we're not going to let God be king, we're going to lose people. We're not going to make it. So God's got to be king. So how do you let God be king? Well, we have principles. We have to live on principles. And we set forth those principles, a sense of honor, a sense of justice, a sense of mercy. And everybody's going to take an oath to that, to the Lord. They're going to take a vow before God to obey those principles. And the two maxims, you know, for every injury, there must be a remedy. And in order for there to be a crime, there's got to be an injured party. So that rules us in that way. Now, obviously, we can't have ignorant people coming in that don't know anything about the process or the procedures, and they don't know anything about, you know, common law and the history of America and our founding fathers. And that's what all of this education is about. We want to bring people to this knowledge and understanding to really, you know, bring them to hear all these things and to just saturate themselves in it. So we're going to require, and we're going to agree to a require. I don't know anybody to disagree with what I'm going to say here. But we're agreeing that we have to have some knowledge. It would be a wrongdoing for us not to have the knowledge. If someone wants to come in to become a administrator, they got to take the entire course through. It's monitored. We'll see it. There are three other administrators. So there's four in each county. And if one of these people do a wrongdoing or they don't go through the course, you know, they stall out. First of all, when they come in, and I just wrote a paper up on this, which I don't know whether I posted it or not yet. It'll probably be posted up on the administrator's page for right now. But I wrote a paper on, for instance, there is a certain set salary where people would start at. And it's kind of low down there with the secretary, which is a decent salary anyway. But the real salary for an administrator, they can't get near that until they go through the courses. So you can be on-the-job training, and you get an on-the-job training salary. But once you get through that course, now you step up in your salary. Now, I also created a chart on how to adjust the salary, how to figure out a salary for each individual. There are certain skills. So there are, I think I broke it down to 5 skill sets. And you'll see the chart as you go through, and people would go, oh, yeah, I got 3 years experience in this, I got 6 years in that, I got no years in this, and so on and so that. And then we have a calculating process that goes through, and then you end up with a salary. And over the course of time, the salary grows. Now, when someone breaks the rules, again, they go to the other three. The other three have to say, hey, what are you doing? All it takes is one of the other ones to see what's going on and say, wait, well, you can't be doing that. That's not what we do. And if they don't turn from their ways, you get the other two, and if the three come upon them and they don't turn from the ways, well, the three can get rid of the one and look for a new person. That's all there is to it. We got to monitor ourselves. We got to police ourselves, and we have to do it by principles. Principles guide us. Now, if you have a break, a two-to-two type thing, let's say there's some evil in here and there's two people trying to push the evil road, you know, and the other two, trying to fix it, whatever the case may be, and the other two are violating the principles we've set up, well, then we go to the county next door, and we bring the case to the county next door, and they decide, and they'll figure out what needs to be done. And so we have to police ourselves. We have to figure it out. But we cannot have rules per se. We can only have principles. We cannot have someone with a hammer, some kind of a chairman that's going to make a decision on what we're going to talk about and how we're going to go forward. And what we're not anybody like that. No, it's four people coming together, figuring things out, working it out in a room, hammering it out, and going forward. And there's not much to hammer out once you're in there, because really we're here in the business of fixing wrongdoing. And that's pretty simple. And we'll be dividing ourselves up because there'll be four of us and lots of people coming in with wrongdoings, especially in the beginning. But then there'll be certain things we'll come together to do, work together. Like if we have to go visit an office of some agency, we definitely don't want to send one person. The Magna Carta says send four. So that's why we'll send four. All four people go to that kind of a thing. But a phone call with a problem with some government agency, if you can fix it with a phone call, one person can handle that with the injured party on the phone at the same time, fix it and get it done with, and get something on, so a sort of a prescription written down, and go forward. You know, a lot of these problems can be fixed because they're complaints of people refusing to do their duty when the people come in and need the services, or someone is requiring them to fill out a form or something to get something that they have every right to get to. They don't need to know who I am if I go to a government office to get something, a piece of paper, or they don't need to know who I am. I was a contractor, and it had gotten so bad just getting in there to get old prints that they wanted me to fill out a form. They wanted to know everything about me just to get a copy of an old print. Who are these people? No, if they're going to charge me to run it off, charge me to run it off. You'll get my first name, John, and I'll see you later. Here's the money. Maybe if I give them a check, they'll get my name. And that's it. But anyway, we have to police ourselves. And we will set out the structure. And look, it's real simple. It's logical. And once we all get it, and it's being taught on the website, and everybody's being taught this, we'll all get it. And it'll take off on its own. Now God's ruling us through principles.
Okay, well, I'm with you 100%. I ask these questions because they come to me from the outside. And people are saying, well, who, I'm a sovereign yada-da, and who are you to tell me what to do? And I'm starting my own common law grand jury here, and NLA has nothing to do with us. We're in West Virginia, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's fine. They can do a common law grand jury any way they want, as long as they don't think they're going to sit and be king, because we'll end up indicting them. Because it's a wrongdoing for someone to come in and take power for years and sit to make decisions on things. You see, we're not doing that. We're administrating. We're going to, when a grand jury is needed to make a grand jury decision, we're going to call them together. And we're not part of that. We're just the administrators, and we're the investigative body for them, just like a prosecutor would be the investigative body representing the state to bring their case before the grand jury. We'd be the investigating body for the people to bring the case before the grand jury. But the grand jury is the one that's going to decide, and they can't sit any longer than a couple of weeks. If they did, it's a wrongdoing. So if they want to form a grand jury and get in there, and if they can get into the courts, God bless them, and they're in there for a couple of weeks to do some business and take care of things, maybe even a month, you know, I guess we could live with that too. But they got to leave. They can't stay there.
That's why I'm with you 100%. I'm here in West Virginia with the NLA, and I'm standing at the gate for the principles that you set up. And that's what brings these questions to my mind, and I'm glad you take the time to answer them with the cogent delivery that you do, John. And thank you once again. I'll save my other question for another time. Thank you again.
Okay, appreciate it, Nancy. And just one correction for you. They're not my principles. They're God's. So it's pure logic, I think, and God's principles. So.
God's principles, John. Thank you for sharing it. God bless. Bye.
Thank you, Anthony. God bless. Bye-bye. And from South Carolina, if I can get my mouse over to push the button. Here it goes. How you doing, Ann? Good to see you. How we doing on the P.O. box? Did you get anything yet? Ann, you've been unmuted. Ann, you there? All right, let me unmute Jason. I'll leave Ann unmuted because I want to talk with her. Maybe she just walked away from the phone.
Hello?
Ann?
Yeah, sorry about that. I pushed something. I don't know what I was pushing.
Okay.
But today I got an email that I thought might interest you and everybody. It was from someone. It's a notice. It's called, this is a notice of non-consent for the Ebola vaccine. And before, when they were putting out all of the vaccines for the flus and stuff, we put out a notice on, and many people were able to use it. This is a different variation, but it gives...
Well, you know what I think we're going to do? I'm glad you brought this up. Get a copy of that to me. I'd like to look at this. I think it's time for we the people, through the grand juries, we'll do a 1-2-page notice to all the federal courts and even to our own courts here to let them know. Don't think that we're going to go out and do anything that you're going to, you know, we're going to give them, put them on notice that we cannot be forced to be taking a shot, an inoculation.
Especially when it's being forced in the way it's being forced. We're not dying fast enough, and therefore they have to keep doing these bogus things. The other side of the thing, on the colloidal silver, you don't want to put them in a clear bottle. Colloidal silver will turn on you. You need to keep it in a dark bottle and in a dark place out of the sun. Those are just some tips that I've learned over the years. And colloidal silver is even good for your animals if given sparingly. So, and for your own body, because they're trying to poison everybody. And it's time we say, I do not consent to you. And one of the other things that someone had put in the do not consent on the vaccinations was, I am allergic to death.
Well,
so,
let me give you a copy of that stuff. I'd like to look at it, and I think
God bless you, caller.
Have got to do something on as a paper. Yeah, go ahead.
No problem. God bless you, caller. And
you're
welcome.
This is where all of us help each other.
Yeah, if the elite and the politicians and the police believe, if the elite, the judges and politicians and the police believe that the vaccines are good, or they believe in depopulation, why don't they take the vaccines and start with them?
My exact point. And especially within this consent thing, do not consent, it says that, see, in Europe and in Africa, they can sue the people. They're suing Gates over in India for his vaccines because of his conflict of interest. Over here, we cannot sue anybody.
He needs to go before a grand jury and be sentenced to death for his crimes against humanity, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's not an... I agree with you. It is a decision. It is crimes against humanity. It's called genocide.
We agree with that, yes. Let me just digress a minute here. I'd like to just digress back to the bottles. I failed to mention that you can't leave this stuff in the light. So, I mean, you know, I'm buying a case of these jars, and it comes in a box. And once you fill it up, you close the box up and stick it in a dark place in a closet or something, and it should be protected. Of course, if you can get a dark glass, I mean, that would be helpful too. But you still want to keep it in a dark place again anyway. But I think if you put it in a box and you close it up.
How about if you spray painted the outside of the jar black?
Yeah,
you don't want to put anything on it. Yeah,
no. That could be a problem too. But not only that, there's no need if you put it back into the box, you close the box and you stick it in the closet. It's dark. That's it. It ain't going. No sun's getting into that.
And those boxes are very thick. Those boxes are thick.
Yeah.
If I remember seeing what the boxes I've
seen
on the
shelf. They are pretty
thick,
yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. They got the dividers in and everything so the glass don't
right.
hit each other. And you can put,
and another,
you know, put a box inside of a box if you want, you know.
Yeah, another place to get it, if you go to your mom and pop Ace Hardware stores, I saw them in there.
Yes,
I'm forgiving. I'm forgiving the mom and pops who keep their stores open to buy from them and not the corporation.
That's right. Ace Hardware, definitely. I've seen it at Ace Hardware, too. You're right. And we have an Ace Hardware that's a lumberyard, and they have it also.
Yeah, so, make it a mom's and pop's.
Did you get your P.O. box yet?
We have not gotten that yet. I am working on it. It's about people being willing to put the, I don't have two IDs. So I'm going to ask a friend to put up a two ID and see if we can't get it and have him stand up and just purchase it for us.
All right. How far are you from the border to other states?
We're in Spartanburg. It's about an hour and a half, and I had my car stolen when the cops did an unlawful roadblock, so I'm on a moped, a three-wheel moped, so I can't go on the freeways at all.
Oh, yeah, no, but what I was thinking of is if you can't get anyone, because you don't have too many people in South Carolina yet, if you can't get anyone to open the box, and maybe someone from out of state in this state next door can open the box that doesn't have a problem, and then eventually you can always change that over to someone within the state. But anyway, one way or another, we do need a P.O. box or some kind of
right.
a, you know, the best thing to go to is those, you know, private boxes.
I have an Ups box. I have an Ups box, and I tested the price, and it's $120 for 6 months. So that's a little out of budget.
Yeah, that is quite expensive. Is that for a small box? Because you don't need anything
that's
big.
A small box. I have a small box, and the post office came in and raised it $5 a month, which made it $60 more for a year for us, and it made it $240 for us for a year.
Wow.
So Ups has been, they're trying to put them out of business.
Yeah.
And I've got an Ups store that'll take me for my free trade zone, so that, and my other name, so it's important that we're able to do those things, and they're very good people. Not all of them will do that, but
all right,
well,
do what you can to get some kind of an address, because we can't push the mailing through until we get an address. You know,
I'll get you. Well, if we could use my Ups number, then we could do that.
Well, yeah, you can use your Ups as long as you go down there and have them put the name on. You can put as many names as you want on there, and you just put the name on, and you say it's a trust, and you're receiving mail for the Unified, you know, South Carolina Common Law Grand Jury, and all you do is you have to have a letterhead. Usually, they'll just ask to bring a letterhead in. So
I'll
take the letterhead off of our site. Print it off and bring it down, and you'll be able to do that. And then later on, you can always change it to another box.
Then we're set. We're set, because these people are super great.
Okay, so send confirm that
send
tomorrow,
that
and send me send me your mailing address as soon as you confirm it.
Okay, will do.
Okay,
I thought I was signed in. Oh, here it is. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll do that. Uh-huh.
Thanks, Ann. All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye, thanks.
Okay. Jason from New Jersey.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Thank
you
so much, John. You're doing a great job. We're fighting a good fight. Thank God that we're still alive. I'm doing really good at my show. I'd like to be able to interview you on our show.
Okay.
Because, again, it's friendly. It's a friendly medium.
Right.
And, and actually, for the rest of our brother and sisters, I had received the best accolade from any newspaper in NLA history. And I'm proud to be a member. It's 1 year since I started with you, John, when I met you. I appreciate everything you do for us. I mean, we're enlightened from our sleep. We're concerned about a state of mind. And it's very important that we believe and in the cause. I know it's hard to believe, But when you know it's the right thing and you feel it in your heart, that's the conversion. Mm-hmm. And every person here is a convert to the truth. And when I do my show, I have an opportunity to speak the truth. And I had an interesting guest, and he talked about the fraud that's in the courts. And the fraud is in the court is in the transcript. And the actual power is in the audio. And when you have the audio versus the transcript, you see discrepancies. And that's where the fraud lies. And when you start pressing your papers, you will find that you will be able to be victorious in what you do. Now, on my show, I was doing research on the colloidal silver.
Oh, copper.
The real thing
okay.
is, I'm talking about silver. Silver is okay. the highest rank of electricity is 45 volts, a 9-volt battery. You use a resistor. And the thing that's really cool with the resistor is on a sharp piece of good cardboard from a can, from a cereal box, and you scrub it up like a scrub it up and make a resistance of the lead, and that becomes your resistor to make sure when you're working it, it won't blow out itself. And using an air presser, so the particles are always suspended, and when you finish up with your product, it's safe to drink, and the power is
yeah.
In
but
it.
Remember, drinking kills it. It doesn't really do you any good.
No, it does do it. It the whole point is that it is inert, and it's a silver. It's a heavy metal, and the
well,
point
yeah,
is
but you
really
but
good.
We're getting in such minute
well,
forms.
Well, anyway,
it's not
but
really
not,
anything.
But that's
but
very
we'll,
important.
We'll look
done.
Into it. Look, at I'm hearing conflicting reports then because I from the people I've been listening to. One of the things they said, there's a few ways to take it, but they said drinking it just isn't going to do much good. Putting on your tongue is good. You take a, you know, one of them big, a dropperful, and you put it under your tongue, and you just let it sit there because then it goes into your blood. It goes into your bloodstream by sitting under your tongue, and it goes pretty quickly, you know. So that's definitely one way to take it, but the best way is to breathe it into the lungs, especially with something like a Ebola riding around. That's where you want to really get it is into your lungs because that goes right directly into your bloodstream. And but I'll look into it. I'll double check.
Actually, a cheap nebulizer, you know, if you really want to be smart, use an old Bic evaporator. And what
well,
is
no,
in there?
No, you get a nebulizer. You get a nebulizer, a little tube, and you just stick it in your mouth or a little oxygen mask thing. You just put it on your, and you just breathe it in, and you just suck it right in. The steam. It's like a vapor. You take it right in and out of your lungs.
Well, you don't even really have to pay for it. You actually should ask the doctor for it. You medically pay for it.
Maybe. Well, mine cost me $29. Mm-hmm. When I bought the kit cost me $4.95 without the nebulizer. If I would have bought the nebulizer, it would have cost more, but I didn't buy it because I already own one. And I don't know, it sounds like you kind of built your own or something. I would
that's the way that's the way it would be made. That's how you do it. It's not a homemade. It's proven by a guy who's done it. And it's smart. I mean, my man, Phil, New Jersey, has been doing it for years. And he has something from like 86 silver. So, and it hasn't changed any bit. So he's healthy as he is, and he's been using it for many years. But again, it kills 650 viruses. That's in a laboratory. Laboratory tested, 650 viruses. That means everything that's out there that's a virus is dead. Why?
Right.
Because it suffocates it. And so everyone should be really into that. That's the cure-all. Because it's the cheapest
right.
thing
any new virus that comes out, I'm sure it'll kill it too because it's killing everything.
Well, it's the way it suffocates it because it's as its form. So it's amazing as it is in that thing. But again, just become educated in colloidal silver education. And they say that 99%, the purest it is, like even the ingots, if you get the ingots, it's even the purest you can do it. I mean, it's 1 troy ounce. So you got to buy 2 troy ounces to work this system. But again, you can do it on the rods, too. And it's 10 aperture, you know, the size.
Yeah, my jaw comes with the rods and everything and the screw top. Yeah. It looks like a chemistry kit, and you got this thing to read. The PMMs or something like that, and the PPM measurements, and all this stuff. It's definitely something people need to learn about and get a kit and get this colloidal silver in their homes.
Right, anything else, Jason? Well, I just want to say that when we get in, it will take at 6 weeks at 20 hours a week to be an intern. To finish up, it will take 6 weeks to finish up a 20-hour course.
Okay.
So the person is in there and takes the 20-hour course, is working 35 hours. So he works 15 hours, 4 hours a week. So he's doing what his job is. And the thing is that as time goes in, 2 hours is important. So you put a 35-hour weekend. So, I mean, it would be 125. I was saying as a state leader, using the figure 65,000 start out with, and when you're fully tenured in your course that you've taken, it's 125,000.
Right, but the salary has been, we did work off professional salaries, and we have a factor chart, certain places. You have to adjust the salaries by a factor margin. Obviously, a place in the middle of the woods, you're going to get, the pay is going to be a lot cheaper, a lot less than it would be if you're in the middle of New York City or Philadelphia, where the living is quite a bit higher. But anyway, I'm going to get that information. I think it's already up on the administrator's page. So we'll get it up there if it's not, and people can go through it. But the salaries are quite a bit lower when they're on the job training and going through the course. And if it takes them 6 weeks to get through the course, then that's how long it's going to be that they'll be on that salary, that lower salary. So it's a motivational thing. No one's going to become an administrator unless they've taken the course or have taken it. And that's just a rule we have to agree upon as a people, because it's a wrongdoing to allow people who are ignorant to what they need to know for their job to allow them to be the administrators. So everybody's got to take the course.
Education is key. Education is good, but it's understanding the spirit of the common law. And as a person who loves the importance of keep it simple, stupid, it's very important to keep the heart simple, because once that's what's really bad about our G-men, and that's my term that I'm using now, but it came down when the feds were busting the gangsters. So we now it didn't do is that the G-man is the enemy, and the whole point of our whole movement is we have to be vigilant and we have to not hate them. But pity our enemy, and the most important thing is to stay in your ground. And when you stay in your ground, John, it gives you the utmost power to yourself, because they can't beat on you if you stay in your ground as a man, and you are polite, and they are the corrupt. So anything you do to them is considered an affront. And the one thing you can't say is, John, and when you give something away free, is it ever solicitation?
I don't understand. If you give it away free, what?
If you give something away free, is it ever solicitation?
Is that solicitation? I never thought about that. I'd have to think that out. Why would say you?
No. If something's for free, it's not solicitation. Solicitation has to do with whoredom and business. Well, I'm not in a business.
Solicitation. I'm thinking off the top of my head. If you solicit someone for something, whether you're selling it or giving it to them for free, that could be a solicit, couldn't it?
No, because if you give it something free away, you can't put a price on it, and it's not solicitation if it is something good from God.
I get it. I know when I was a kid in New York City growing up, and our apartment building had a sign in it, and many others did, no solicitors. And that made me think, no one knocking on the door selling things. But that would also, I would also think that means nobody knocking on the door is giving things away too. I don't know. I never thought about the word solicitation.
Well, if anything, the most thing that we take it for granted, we should always attend to, is trespass. And if we are truly understand our rights as a sovereign, not ever a citizen, and it's a fun thing that our civil servants do to us to try to break us. But the real thing is, it's less than them than us. We outnumber them to 300-2. And the real thing is you don't have to fear your government.
Well, I would think
it's
more than that. I think it's more than that. We got to outnumber them a heck of a lot more than that, no?
No. The people as a whole. 75% don't do anything, yet they expect that zeros are going to do something. Apathy is the king. The thing is the 25% that we vote. I mean, we've done everything. I'm a registered Democrat for 42 years. I mean, I love being a Democrat, but I'm stuck with Democrats, and I'm not saying the Republicans are any better. I mean, the whole thing I love about this whole movement is the constitutionalism. I mean,
right.
The whole purpose of us as people is to do things for our fellow man, and we can't take anything out of this world, but we can certainly take out the goodness of our heart. And be charitable and be as kind as we can, and like as much as this beast tries to get us, I laugh. I want to tear it apart with vengeance. But the thing is, what do I get when I hurt someone? I get nothing. And the power of us is that we are stronger than them. We outnumber them, and we F by 25% to their 1%. We are still stronger than they are. And that is a significant amount of people of the vote to go against. 25% that you need to say no to your government, and that as
well,
a whole part
why,
of our
yeah,
nation.
United we stand, divided we fall, and that's why, you know, we want to go together as a nation, people from every state, and eventually we're going to overwhelm them so greatly that they'll definitely have to bend or break. Anyway, anything else, Jason?
Well, I just want to say to everyone, I love you all. I thank you very much. New Jersey is there behind New York. We're strong, and without us believing in the truth of God, we are not here able to do anything. I invite any leader, any person who would love to speak to me from 2 to 4 Monday and Friday. You're welcome to come on board and speak your piece. And I love National Liberty Alliance and what it stands for. I love the principles. I love what it does for us. John, thank you so much for opening up our eyes and sending such beautiful paperwork to our wonderful uncivil servants. And as far as I'm concerned, they have shown their distrust to dislike of us. We show their distrust to us. Without our consent, they are nothing. And the whole thing is every American sovereign needs to call back their consent to this disgusting state that we call the non-republic people of America. So I say goodbye. I thank you, John.
Thank you,
God bless you. And I'm thank you so much. Oh, by the way, make sure you check out your box. I sent you a whole bunch of stuff that talks about recruitment and also my PR piece. So check it out, please. We'll talk tomorrow. What time tomorrow, brother?
Well, I should be available hold on, let me look out there. I think I have a dental tomorrow. Well, I guess before 1 o'clock. Or after three.
You want after three is better for you?
Yeah, either way.
No. What do you declare? Three.
Well,
PM
after three, I got an appointment at 4 o'clock too, so it's kind of tomorrow's a crazy day. Why don't you just call me Wednesday? I'll be available probably most of the day Wednesday.
Wednesday, okay. Your time. I would say I would put about 11 o'clock.
That's good.
Wednesday, 11 a.m. I'll talk to you then. Thank you so much. God bless you. Keep up the good work. A man without a spirit is a man lost, and man lost is never found. And even with a compass, no one can move because no one knows where the direction to go. Thank you and all. God bless.
All right. Thanks, Jason. God bless you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, Tammy from New York. Tammy from New York. Maybe you muted yourself, but you're unmuted here. Tammy from New York. Another call for Tammy from New York. Last call for Tammy from New York. Okay, we'll go to Donna. Donna. Go right ahead,
John.
How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I wanted to put a
plug. This is Donna from Maryland, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep. I wanted to put a plug out there for my mentor, Dr. Larry Wilson. He has been doing hair testing for over 30 years, and he does nutritional balancing, and he has 500 to 700, I don't even know how many articles on his website, and I think he's just brilliant with balancing the body with food and proper water and vitamins and minerals, and you can certainly search his website about silver. And I used silver myself recently for a cold. I had it for a day and a half, which is short for me, and I inhaled it through my nose. So I had a head cold, and it was gone in a day and a half. But he's a fantastic resource for anybody who wants to get off of, you know, the treadmill or the merry-go-round with medications and use diet and supplements and stuff. He also gives the NRA discount and Tea Party discount, so he's on board with this type of thing. So I just think people might enjoy his stuff and get a lot out of it.
All right. Well, send me some info and we'll take a look at him.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Have you looked into the copper? Have you heard anything about the copper?
No, that actually kind of scares me because I was tested with too much copper from...
Of course, you know, we're not looking at actually putting metals into you, but I think it's microscopic levels. It's, very low readings. But there's something about copper that I'm just learning about, and I don't know if there's anybody here that knows about it. Maybe they can tell us about it. But it's... Some of the stuff I'm hearing is amazing. I just don't even want to talk about what I'm hearing until I really check this out better. But it looks pretty interesting. And but look at, you know, you need iron. That's a metal, but it's not, you know, it's really microscopic, I guess, that your needs are. The same thing you need, the silver, another metal, and copper, zinc. I mean, you need all that stuff.
Yeah, and anything can kill you in the wrong amount. So
that's right.
Exactly. So copper, you know, is he's got a lot on his website about copper, but mostly it's because of toxicity from the environment. But
now mercury, and I don't even know if that's a metal or not, but I guess it might be considered a liquid metal. But mercury, I mean, that stuff will kill you, and they got that in the shots. Those shots that people
get
the flu.
Actually, the hair testing that he does, I'm actually a consultant with him. I do my own. I have my own small business. I was taught by him. And mercury is one of the metals that we test hair for, and it can wreak a lot of havoc on the body.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much.
Yeah, I mean, I got to imagine, I hear that stuff doesn't leave the body, and I got to imagine these people going every year to get their shots. They're building up their mercury levels. And now they got more shots coming up, and they'll give them more mercury.
It can leave the body. It's just a matter of replacing the body with the right nutrients, and your body actually tries to get rid of it itself. But it takes time, and it takes commitment. I mean, one of the things he recommends highly is an infrared sauna every day and a coffee enemas every day.
Right. Well, the coffee enema will definitely remove metals from your body.
Yeah.
No doubt about
that.
The impurities, that's pretty powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a cancer treatment for a while. Yep.
Absolutely. No need to go get those radiation treatments. So,
yes, and I would think that I did read something about Ebola on his site, but I don't remember exactly what he said. And but I think he actually has a form on his site about rejecting any kind of mandatory vaccine. And he's real big into this. He wrote a book about practicing unlicensed and how to stay safe away from the government and stuff like that. But still, He doesn't like having those kind of regulations on him. So he's a real, he's a free spirit, but he's brilliant. I would really suggest anybody, you can search his articles. It's very easy to search. He's got articles on almost everything.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, send me some info on his site, and I'll take a look. So,
sure.
All right, anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay, Donna, thanks for the call. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Ellie from California. How are you doing, Ellie?
Hi, this is Ellie from California.
How you
doing? I didn't know my turn would come so fast. Daydreaming.
Caught you off guard.
I wanted to address this brand new thing I just read about. It's called ozonated water. It seems like it.
Ozone. Ozone generator. I got one of them too, and it's
ozone
really
water.
Good.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
absolutely. Also helps to cure a disease also. It puts the ozone into your body, which really is a great cleanser.
Uh-huh.
And it goes in a good way, not in a gas form, but it's in the water. So, yeah, absolutely a great item to use.
Okay. It cleans your blood. That's why I like it the
absolutely.
Best.
Absolutely. It goes right into the bloodstream. Absolutely. That's the key to it, yeah.
It puts oxygen in your blood, and that is amazing. And you can also purchase an ozone generator legally from where you go to buy fish, an aquarium, you know, aquarium places where you can...
Well, I would be careful about getting it from there. You want to buy one that really is putting the right amount of juice into the water, and it's done through a tube and a block and so on and so forth. But it's not just blowing air in. It's actually putting a current in. And as a matter of fact, I'm ozonating? I don't know. I'm putting ozone in my water right now as we speak.
Really?
But you can't
immediately because it goes away very fast.
Well, yeah, you got to drink it in 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah, it starts to deteriorate as soon as you shut it off. But one of the things is that you don't want to just buy anything that's going to put air and through a block into the water. It's not going to do for you what needs to be done. There is a certain electrical charge that's required to go into the water to make this thing work. And
yeah, this article tells you exactly what to buy and what to do with
it. Well, if you Google it, on ozone generators, I know I bought mine for $79, and just Google it, you'll find them. So... we'll look into some of these items. Maybe we can get them up onto our website where people can purchase them, and maybe I can work out some kind of arrangement with these people that sell them, and maybe they can give us an NLA a few dollars as a reseller or something.
Because they say this with colloidal silver is absolutely powerful. If you
do they suggest to actually ozonate the water? That's the silver water, right? Ozonate the silver water?
No, it says just chilled water. It has to be cold.
Right. So you ozonate the water, you drink that, and then you do the silver. And again, the best way to do the silver is under the tongue, or through
also spray it in your mouth. The silver, you can spray it to your
right,
throat.
Right. I saw that. Yes.
It works wonders, especially if you have it through it.
Yes, that's correct. I read that too, yes. So, yeah, it works for the cold, everything. Help prevent colds, everything.
Yeah, my daughter got over it immediately. She just had a sore throat, and she was spraying it with colloidal silver, and she got over it the same day.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. One more thing is to put the colloidal silver, if you have it in a glass of any kind of transparent glass, you can always put it in a brown paper bag and
right,
into the closet.
You yeah, you can put it in a bag, that's true.
Or an empty bottle of wine also can work great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
okay.
This is my question.
Yeah.
What could happen to us as a group if they turn off the power? How can we communicate? Are we done?
Well, that's a good question, and we're going to be able to network. It'll be very difficult, of course, and we are concerned with that. That's why one of the reasons why we want to move fast also. We've talked about this, and we haven't really gotten out onto real hardcore to push it, but to deal with radio, the shortwave radio.
Right.
So we will work out something with shortwave radio. We have kind of formulated some stuff, and we looked at certain different radios that we would suggest for people to buy. You know, every state, at least one person in the state should have a large one, but not necessarily so, you know, a powerful radio. Remember, there are other people in the state that have them. You can work off of them. You bounce off them anyway. But each state should have one very strong radio for shortwave. And then everyone should really, in every county, someone in every county should have at least something, a small one, so that we can all really tie together and communicate in an emergency. So
how about having one at home?
Exactly. I've got one of them scanners with the trunk, you know, I forget what the emergency services and everything in there. And I don't talk one or anything, I just listen. But I do have to get a shortwave. You could buy a shortwave radio, a really good one for $200-$300 that works very well.
Where from?
Well, we're going to get that information and we'll post something. It's something we do have to work on.
Yeah, it's very important. And also, what is MMS powder that you were talking about earlier?
Well, if you go up to learn about MMS, go up to nationallibertyalliance.org, highlight, media, highlight, then come down and highlight today's issues, and then go and click on health issues. Now, when you click on health issues, you'll see a lot of stuff there. You'll see Laetril, which is vitamin B17. And you'll also see MMS, a lot of stuff on MMS. You'll see the hemp oil. We've got to get some other stuff up here. I'm going to put a few things up here as soon as I finish research on the copper. If we may put something up there on that. We'll put up the allodial silver stuff up here too. You know, we got more stuff we're going to put up here that people need to know about in the case of an emergency. So, but this is where you can learn about MMS. There's two forms of MMS. I got both of them. One's a liquid form, and the other one is sort of a powder form. And the powder you put into these capsules, that's called MMS2. And the other one is liquid. It's just called MMS. I don't think they call it one, but it's just called MMS.
What does it do? I'll look it up.
Oh, it kills just about, does pretty much what the silver does and a lot of others. It kills just about any kind of a bacteria known to man. Just about any bacteria known to man, but it does not kill or hurt the good bacteria. You know?
Wow, wonderful.
Like
okay,
flora, you don't want to hurt the flora, which is a good bacteria in your stomach lining, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. Okay, that's good to know. Thank you. Thank you, John.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Donna from California, how you doing?
Hey, California, Donna here.
How you doing, Donna?
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just would like to just verify for those sheriff letters.
Uh-huh.
What are you recommending all the people to put for the person's address and signature on the bottom?
Well, you could put, you're sending it in as a regular person. It's a very neutral, nice letter, you know, just voicing your concern about, the law not being obeyed by our officials, and you'd like to get them a copy, make sure that all the sheriffs, so you're sending out copies of the jurist handbooks and the Constitution. And, we have a form letter on the plan. If you click on that plan on our website, webpage, and it'll give you a form letter in there, and write something like that. And basically at the end of it, you know, hey, we're supporting you and we'll be praying for you, you know. Thank you very much. Sign your name. And look at it. It's a nice gesture. You can look at these nice little booklets. They're small. They can stick them right in their shirt pocket. Something they can read when they're sitting somewhere in a courtroom waiting or something, you know. And I think it'll really make them start thinking when they start reading those jurist handbooks. So, yeah, just the people. You're not connecting yourself to the grand jury. You're not putting anything like that in there. This is just the people to the sheriff. You're a concerned citizen. Use the word, I'm a concerned citizen.
What I'm saying is, what name goes there and address?
Yeah, whoever sends it out. But it's your name and your address. You're just a concerned citizen. If you got 10 people working on the project in your state, okay, and you got, let's say, you got 40 sheriffs, so each one would send it out to 4 sheriffs, and they'd put their own name and address and even your phone number and say, hey, look, if this interests you and you'd like some more copies, let me know. We'll send you some more copies of the jurist handbooks. And that would be a great thing, to get a call from the sheriff or a letter back saying, hey, I really appreciate what you sent me. I would like to get 10 more to share with my deputies, if you could. Thank you very much. And you send them 10 more copies. Now you really opened the door. We do have people that sheriffs have responded already that way to our handbooks.
So nobody is going to be signing any of the letters that are going to be sent out.
Sure you are. Go ahead.
By which, say like me, do I have to put my stuff on any of the letters that I live in the county to which they're being sent?
No, you could come from any county you want and send it to them. Let them know, look, I'm sending this to numerous sheriffs in other counties. I'm just concerned to make sure that the sheriffs know the law, because if the sheriffs don't know the law, boy, we're really in trouble. You're a concerned citizen, want to make sure they got a copy. Here's a gift. I'm giving you a gift. This is a gift that you can have. I'm not charging you for it. If you'd like more copies, I'll send you more. And you sign your name, put your address. You don't put anything about grand jury. You're not talking about any of those. You're just one of the people giving the sheriff a gift.
Yeah, like the third and fourth letter coming up, which is
away. No. Matter of fact, I removed them from the website because I don't want people to get confused to go out and start sending those letters out. We still have to work on some of that, maybe, but we got to do it together at the same time. Right now, the campaign is getting the booklets out to them. When we move to the next step, that's coming from the grand jury. That's not coming from one of the citizens per se. It's coming from the people under the authority of the grand jury. Now those letters.
Oh, okay. So that's how they're going to sign the other ones.
The other one's going to come with a. You're going to put a seal on it, and you're going to put a signature without, one that can't be understood very well, and you're not going to print your name, and you're going to send, we're going to have a plan on that. Well, we'll get to that. When we get to that, we'll talk about it.
Okay. And then
hopefully in a week we'll be on that letter.
If you guys want to know where the colloidal silver derived from, that was came from the ancient Greeks. And when they filled up their vases full of water, they would throw in a couple of pure silver coins in those vases and let them sit for a month or two. And what that did was create a natural electrolysis through the water, killing all the bugs in the water so they could have drinking water.
Well, I didn't realize that. That's pretty good information.
Yeah, that's where that came from, and I use colloidal silver before a cold, during one, and sometimes it goes too far and I can't catch it in time. But it works really well. It does state when you fill up your tube, it just swish it around your mouth for 30 or more seconds so it goes right directly in your system.
Right into your bloodstream. The best way to do is put it under the tongue. You could just swish it around your mouth. It's good that way too. But you put it under your tongue. I know when I've been doing it for a long time. I put a dropper full under my tongue every day. And boy, it goes very quick. It just disappears. It just gets soaked into your system right under your tongue very quickly.
Yeah, and it works good in your ears for ear infections and up your nose for sinuses.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So, and it works topically also for different things.
Right. Yeah, we saw a picture of a child who had the third degree burns on second and third degree burn on their from a hot liquid on their chest, and actually his nipple was literally burnt off, and they treated it with colloidal silver compresses, and even his nipple grew back, no scar, nothing. Amazing thing to see that. And that's very interesting. I was putting that together with something else I had seen where there are certain animals, you know, like usually lizards or something, you know, they can lose a leg or a tail and they'll grow it back. And they've been experimenting with that, and they've been growing limbs back on people. They've grown muscles back on people, not a full limb yet, but they've grown a muscle. One guy cut off the tip of his finger and they grew his finger back, nail and everything, grew it back. And it's something with they worked something out with these lizards, and they took the base, they made some kind of a fabric base or something, and I don't really understand what they did, but something that they were able to treat people with. And, you know, there may be something to this allodial silver that might have the same thing. When I heard about this little kid, that even his nipple grew back, that's an amazing thing.
Well, they're also studying gator blood, because you know when two male gators battle for their mates, the bigger gator sometimes rips off a limb off of another gator, and gators are found in the most yucky of waters, as you could imagine, with bacteria, germs, and everything else in there.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why they're testing them is because they wonder, how could these animals get in fights and lose a limb and not get a bad infection in the water in which they live? So they're studying gator blood to find out what's in their blood that keeps them from getting a deadly infection.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely. We got to get whatever we can. Anything that really is solid, we'll put up on the page that people should know for protecting themselves against any of these diseases, particularly, you know. But even for a wound, you know, if we get into bad times, it'd be good to have the colloidal silver to treat a wound also.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's where the nano silver comes in. And again, I don't know. I'm green in this whole area here. I'm just learning. You know, I kind of learned the stuff, but I haven't educated myself in a way to articulate it. I haven't immersed myself into this stuff. So, but I do a lot of this stuff. Been doing it for a while now.
Oh, yeah. It's
anyway. Anything else, Donna?
Everything that we need for ourselves is found in nature if it doesn't
destroyed. Yeah, well, that's right. The pharmaceutical companies would like us to believe something else, though. They want to make nature illegal so that they can sell their poison. Yes,
poison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, poison.
Yeah. All right.
Anything
well,
else?
Have a good evening.
Okay, thank you, Donna. Talk to
you
later.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. 828-284. What state and what's your name?
Hey, John. This is Jay from North Carolina.
Hey, how you doing, Jay from North Carolina?
Okay. Two things. One is we're talking about the vaccine form to stay away from vaccines. Joyce Riley, the Power Hour at thepowermall.com, sells the medical alert bracelets that say vaccine contraindicated. So it's a medical alert bracelet.
What does it say? Vaccine what?
Vaccine contraindicated. Which?
What exactly does that mean?
It's that you don't want any vaccines.
Okay.
But anyway, she sells that medical alert bracelet on her site that's saying no vaccine.
That's very interesting. Maybe
but,
put yeah.
The other thing I wanted to say, and that's at thepowermall.com. The other thing I wanted to say was the woman that was asking earlier about the jury, she was one of the first callers. Uh-huh. I think I kind of want to go through this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the grand jury meets, and they decide who's going to be indicted. Once they're indicted, then there's a petite jury. I think that's right. What she was looking for instead of statutory jury. Then the petite jury,
well,
which is
no, she
jury.
Knows. She knows the difference between the two. But yeah, after that, the trial jury picks up. Or
right.
The petite.
Right, and that's the petite
thing.
Jury, right?
Right, same thing, and, yeah.
Okay, and what our role would be as administrators is the petite jury would meet with us for the first 8 hours, right?
Yeah, we would call the people together by pulling them out of a pool, calling them down for jury call, and they'd show up at 9 o'clock at the courthouse, and we'd gather them together, and we'd get 8 hours to give them orientation. We'd show them videos, we'll talk to them, we'll give them the jurist books, and we'll really train them as best we can on the things of common law and how they get to decide everything. You know, you go in there, you not only get to decide whether the people, if it's a trial jury, for instance, whether the people are guilty or innocent, you get to judge both the you know, whether they actually did break a law, whether they are guilty of that. And so you get to look at the facts and law, and then you also get to decide what the penalty is going to be. And remember, the penalty should always be something that will repair or restore the injured party. That's the key. You know, when it comes to something that, you know, a murder or something, obviously they can never restore that injured party. You know, any violence, it's going to have to require jail. But still, even in jail, they still have to pay restitution to the person they injured, you know. Jail should be letting people out for work as long as they can be. They can put rings on them, you know. They can control these people.
Okay, so for every jury case, there'd have to be a new jury picked. That's beside the grand jury. The grand jury can meet for a month or two, whatever. But
well, no,
trial,
I think a month or two is way too long. Look, who are you going to get to sit on a jury a month or two? You're going to be knocking out all the entrepreneurs. No entrepreneurs will ever sit on a jury. As an entrepreneur, I could never go away for a month. My whole business would fall apart. You know,
okay,
so you won't
anyway,
get those
any,
people.
Okay, but anyway, my point was that the trial jury, the petite jury, would have to be chosen for every trial case, and
right.
We would have to educate them before they could sit on the trial . And then would another one of our job duties be to monitor the trials to make sure they're proceeding in a common law fashion?
Well, yeah, we may do that not by monitoring the jury, but, yeah, we might go sit in the court, see what's going on. As a matter of fact, you know, there are people amongst us that are involved. That's what they do. And hopefully we're going to start to work on that, building that up, other people who want to just go sit in the court and listen, make sure that they're doing the right thing on cases. You know, we have to be available to the jury. Once we set the jury out and they got it and they understand what they need to do and a foreman has been figured out, we leave them alone now. We don't bother them anymore. You know, they get a phone number, and if you guys run into a problem, you have a question or something or a concern, you call us up and we'll come down and we'll answer your concerns. Other than that, we don't interfere with them. And that's
okay.
Both the grand jury and trial jury. When you get when we call a grand jury together, if we're doing a presentment, okay, then we're going to be presenting ourselves. We're going to be presenting something to the grand jury. And if they want, they can go out and do an on-site investigation too. But we'll bring everything to them. And then they get to decide. And when they go to decide, we leave the room. They're on their own. When you call us in when you're done. If you need us, give us a call. Do you got any questions or something? We'll fill you in on what's what, and we leave them alone. We don't tamper with them.
Okay, I was hoping that would kind of clarify what I believe the question she was kind of asking.
Okay.
Because as you were trying to explain it, I was like, well, that's not what she's But anyways, also, we no longer do the Thursday night calls?
No, I'm not doing them anymore. I've been way too busy, too many things coming up, plus it puts me at risk at this point in time.
Uh-huh. Okay. So. All right, well, that's really all I had.
Okay.
Thanks, John.
All right, thanks, Jay. Okay, let's take our next caller. Let's see, Sharon from Arkansas. Go right ahead.
Hi, yes, John. As most of us are, we're still waiting on the courses, but I think I found a gem today. I'm not sure if maybe you have looked into it, but the National Centers for Constitutional Studies offers a free course in Proclaiming Liberty. It's got 23 lessons in it.
I people can take that if they want. We can't, suggest that to people because I have no clue if what they know or what they don't know. I don't know whether they understand common law and how they're going to, lay it out. We were very careful with what we have chosen to put out here for people. It's stuff we've already investigated and researched and studied ourselves. It's what we've learned from mostly. So those courses, if people wanted to take them, they're free to take them, but they wouldn't get credit for what we're doing. We need to make sure that we do give people a good rounded course and it's not just looking in on the history of the grand jury and how the grand jury works and how juries work, but also looking at American history too and common law and procedure. So there's a lot of stuff that we have to bring together on this.
Correction, I have not. I just signed up for them, so I was going to take a go at it and look at it.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted that. And, it had to do with the Founding Fathers and things like that.
Yeah, we will not suggest that course to anyone, but people are free to take that course. And if you take the course, be very attentive. And then when you take ours and if you see in conflicts and contradictions, then, it's something that needs to be discussed maybe because, again, the enemy has gotten everywhere, and I have no clue until I would look at it for myself, and I'd be very careful when I look at anything new, and I don't just suck anything in. I want to know where they get this from,
Okay, well, I'll just take the time and give it a go and see what it has to say. I just didn't know if anyone else had or had done so. Okay, have a good evening.
All right, thanks, Sharon.
Thank you.
Okay, Johnny B. from Kansas, go right ahead.
Blessings all. This is Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. I've got several comments to make on the conversation as it's running, but I got one main question, John.
Yeah.
I'm getting the impression from the discussion that the course is up. I haven't found it.
No, it's not up yet. No, I wish it was. I mean, I'm still pushing along on that, and I went to get to him on Friday. I never did, but I'll call him tomorrow. Today, I didn't even think about it. I've been so busy with other things, but I'll try to call him tomorrow. We do have a page up there that says civics course, and it'll take you to a page that gives some information, but it doesn't bring you into the course yet. But that will be the entrance into the course. On that tab.
Okay, that's the first place I check, and then I start searching the site for any new additions.
Right, and the moment, let me tell you, the moment that that course is up, we'll do some test runs through it, but the moment that course is up, we will put out email notifications right away.
All right, good deal. That'll work.
Okay.
Your discussion on silver.
Yep.
The under the tongue is termed sublingual.
Yes, that's right.
The only thing quicker to get into your bloodstream than that is through the eye.
Oh, okay.
It is perfectly safe. It is perfectly safe to put the colloidal silver in your eye as a drop.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. An eye drop, and that
goes into
like
your blood. Yeah, that makes it into your bloodstream instantaneously. The second quickest is your tongue. And then, like you say, well, drinking it, that will help issues in your throat or like a bronchitis right there at the esophagus. That can help there, but you're right. It is degraded when it hits the stomach acid.
Right. Well, also a nebulizer, because that goes right into the lungs, and the lungs is an immediate, you know, immediately goes into the bloodstream, too.
Into the blood, right. Yeah, that would probably be the third pathway in. If you'll remember earlier this year in the spring, like late winter, early spring, we was having that congestion problem that was going around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I was pretty sick way back when.
So. Yeah, I remember that. And there was a three-item process that we identified with Joyce and the Power Hour and the group, the power team that works there. And it was a combination of the silver and oregano and garlic.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I heard garlic's very good for you, too. You're right. And
absolutely.
But, yeah, the oil of oregano, is that what they call it? Let me see. Yeah, I got Mediterranean oregano oil, wild Mediterranean oregano oil. One drop in your nebulizer if you do it by breathing it in. I don't think you should do more than that, I was told. But you could take three or four or five drops. I put this – what I do is I put it in a capsule, and I take it by mouth. So I put it in just one of those gel caps, and that's it. I fill half of it up, and I do that every day.
Absolutely. But you always want to check your supplier. Make sure they're getting quality stuff, because that's the most important part of the alternative medicine, is knowing your supply. And, John, I got out my fourth edition of Black's Law to look up solicit.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. To solicit is to appeal for something, to apply to for obtaining something, to ask earnestly, to ask for the purpose of receiving, to endeavor to obtain by asking or pleading, to entreat, implore, or importune, to make petition to plead for, to try to obtain. And though the word implies a serious request, it requires no particular degree of importunity, entreaty, imploration, or supplication.
Well, there you go. Then it doesn't. It's not necessarily that you're trying to sell something. You could be selling something, but not necessarily for money. You might be trying to sell your idea. Yeah.
That's what I was screaming to the trees out here while you and Jason were speaking.
you see, that's what I thought.
A response.
I remember when
you
I was a kid.
A response.
Yeah, there you go.
And I was telling the wife, you know, the no solicitation signs is basically do not knock.
That's right. That's what I always thought, you know. Exactly.
Yeah. So. That's about all I had, man. I'm earnestly looking for that civics course. I'm really chomping at the bit to get in the middle of that.
It's coming up. It's coming up. It's getting there. We're close. All right, Johnny. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot, John.
Okay. Ron from California. Go right ahead.
Oh, this is Ron in California. I was trying to, this is about colloidal silver, a very interesting conversation. I was trying to help you out by looking up some information to clarify size and stuff. And I'd read some stuff recently, and I'm also trying to clarify. So let me, I'm just right here on an article for colloidal silver. It's interesting. It relates to what one of the ladies was talking about, the universal antibiotic. You know about the ancient Romans and Greeks found that liquids would stay fresher longer if put in silver containers. Our own American pioneers found that a silver dollar put in a jug of milk would delay spoilage. They also found
that
it's...
Yeah, I heard that one too, yes. That's very good.
Yeah, apparently they used to put a dime in the milk when you delivered it and stuff, you know. So I just read that. It goes along with this, which is all very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Did you say you've been doing a paper on this?
I've been looking up. This is a paper I'm reading, and I've been looking up stuff, and I wanted to, you know, I have colloidal silver products. They talk about 10 parts per million, 10 ppm. That's kind of small. And then there's the thing about nano. Now, nano is a measurement size. Let me just say something. I hope it's not confusing. But behind the decimal point, this is the negative. This is less than one. The way the measurement process works is, three zeros, decimal point 000 is milli. The next set of three zeros is micro. The next set of zeros is nano. So you have milli, micro, nano. Then it goes pico, femto, so on and so forth. So you're having 100,000 or a million, you know, very tiny wavelengths of of particles. Let me just go back, and I'm going to find a particular thing that actually gave the difference between colloids, ions, and solutions, and I think this will help me. And had a lot of information. I was, oh, here we are.
So it told you the difference between the two. On the one hand, does it should tell you what the different usages? Like I'm thinking from what I've read so far, and again, I'm just still researching this, so I don't know. But it seems that you use the nano for, putting on a wound or something like that. You know, compresses.
Well, that's got me boggled because I don't quite. I think there's a controversy about that that is probably more. This is what I'm trying to find out to you, John. I am not definitive on this, but let me just say something because I want to answer that question, but I want to give something about length here for a second. It says, what is colloidal silver and why is it important? And it talks about colloidal silver is a type of colloid consisted of solid particles. Okay, then it says the difference between solutions, colloids, and suspensions is defined by the size of the particles. Solutions are greater than 10 to the negative 9 millimeters, less than 1 nanometer. Okay, and then it says colloids are 10 to the negative 9 meters to 10 to the negative 6 meters. In other words, 1 nanometer to 1,000 nanometers. So there's a range of particle size. These are colloids. And a colloid is a particle, in this case of silver that we're talking about, in a solution of water. Suspensions are greater than 10 to the negative 6 meters, which is larger than 1,000 nanometers. So it, right there, it gives you a spread of size. People talk about, and I believe, I'm not clear on that right now, so I'm not going to say my belief, but you take the measurement sizes that people talk about, and I have two products of colloidal silver. It says colloidal silver. I mean, I don't know if there's honesty in advertising or what, but it's in the industry. It comes from good sources. But I'm still trying to find out and define it, but it talks about 10 parts per million.
Right. And it goes up 15, 20. You can go higher. And let me just read this out of this. This is a book I've got with the system I bought, the silver generator. Okay. Awesome. And this is what it says: ionic versus colloidal.
Yeah.
And it says which to use, where to use. So and it says we found that the ionic solution produced without the colloidal protocol are best used in the eyes, the ears, and topically. The lungs can also be targeted with the ionic silver. When creating colloidal solutions, we have found these solutions to be better suited for oral or nasal administrations as silver particles do not form silver chloride when swallowed or delivered nasally. Colloidal silver can also be used in the lungs for direct bloodstream delivery. 50-50 blended solutions are many times the best overall silver solution to produce as both silver species are present, i.e. ions and particles. So that's what it says here between the two. So it seems to be depending on how you what you're treating, which way to use it. This machine does both. It does the ionic and the colloidal. So
okay,
I'm going to produce both, you know.
Well, let me in this article also, it's the thing about silver ions. Now, ions have a positive charge where the colloidal silver has a negative charge. And this one little paragraph here, let me see if I can get the it talks to this to understand the difference. I'm hoping.
Well, maybe we've been using the wrong word when we say nano.
Nano is merely a measurement of size. I think there's confusion out there about that, and I don't know that it's warranted per se because the nano, in this upper measurement set where it was talking about colloidal, if it's colloidal, it fits into that degree of 1 nanometer to 1,000 nanometers. To be colloids, it has to be that size. Now, if that size, if there's negative 9, oh, my God, here we go, negative 10 to the negative 9, 10 to the negative 6, 3, 6, that's exactly the sentence. Like I said, decimal point 000 milli, 000 micro, the 9 zeros is the nano. So that tells us that 10 to the negative 9 meters to 10 to the negative 6, which is the last part of the micro. It's milli, micro, nano. Nano is 9 zeros. behind the decimal point, that is the physical size of colloids. So
the colloidal would be the nano, and then there's ionic silver.
And now ionic, very good. They're different because I was reading this thing about the difference between, oh, here it is. So various forms of silver. Colloid silver is generally produced by electrolysis. One process, it's going to make stuff a certain way, and to be colloid, it's got to fit into that measurement we just talked about, one nanometer to 1,000 nanometers, but I don't want to digress, so let me just reread this. Colloidal silver is generally produced by electrolysis when an electric current is passed through a series circuit consisting of silver electrode and deionized water. The current can be either alternative, okay, it can be AC or DC, whatever. The current flow causes Ag0 metal and Ag positive. Now, Ag positive is that positive above it. Those are ions. So you're creating both of these. To migrate from the electrode into the deionized water, AC processes tend to be more efficient than DC. In limiting the ionic, it is generally assumed that water ionizes to hydrogen ion, that's H plus, and OH negative. That's called a, and the H plus form a hydronium ion, H2O plus. Okay, great chemistry. So that migrates, that's what it does. It does these things and it makes the silver a certain thing. Okay, therefore, colloidal silver consists of silver in two distinctly different forms. Here's to the point. Metallic silver particles and ions. The total amount of silver that is reported as the silver concentration, parentheses in parts per million, parentheses, which we were measuring earlier, or 10 parts per million or 15, whatever, is the sum total of the silver contained in the particles and the silver contained in the silver ions. So they're measuring all of them together. Okay, but an ion is an ion. It wants to bond with something. That's another thing. I remember that has your valence level gone, and it doesn't want to stay that way. It's constantly looking for another electron. It wants to be, it's unstable. But anyway,
that's a good thing then, because that's what you want it to connect with, maybe bacteria or something and kill it.
That's another thing that I was looking to find out about this, because I was reading earlier this week that it was saying, this is saying it differently, but it was talking about electrical charge of colloidal silver basically goes out. It doesn't have to wait to bump against an opposite charge bacteria or virus. Colloidal silver apparently kills bacteria and viruses. This is awesome. And it attracts to them, and then the charge basically destroys the bad guys. What I'd also read was, it says if it gets into the stomach, it doesn't destroy the good bacteria because the charge is not a problem, and it's so small it
gets
through the bacteria, but and through there. But your other sublingual in the eye was interesting. Sublingual, if it gets directly into the blood system or through the inhalation, which gets you directly into the, your blood is getting oxygenized. So if you do it through your device you were talking about, that would get it into your lungs directly with
Under the paragraph that I had read, it says something. It says, it has a list, and it says ionic for eyes, ears, lungs, and topically.
How do you separate them? How do you know what you have? How do you know if you have ionized or colloidal? How do you separate them?
This is like a chemistry set here in creating this stuff. I mean, it's got you test the parts per... parts per million or something, and it's got all these different things, and you also have a laser, and you have to shoot the laser, and it's got to be certain color. I haven't even been through this yet. I haven't started creating it. I was buying it. But let me read this. It says the ionic is good for eyes, ears, lungs, and topically, and the colloidal is good for oral, nasal, lungs, so you do either one for the lungs, rectally, and vaginally. So, that's the two different ways to deal with it. But topically, it seems the best for topically is to do the ionic. So if you have a wound or something, you probably want to do ionic silver.
Well, that would make sense because it would immediately, because it's looking to change it to become stable, it's going to connect with something. It's going to become stable because when it's ionic.
Right, it'll kill bacteria a lot better maybe. I don't know.
Yes. Faster, quicker type of thing. Yeah, that would make sense. I'm just saying out of the top of my head that makes sense, because it's unstable and it's looking to stabilize or something, so it goes and attaches to something and then disrupts whatever it was that it's attached to, which is the bad guy, and therefore causing it to become neutral and not a problem. Because I think polarity or the charge seems to play a part in the bad bacteria and these kinds of things. But I can't really right. introduce that into it. I don't know for sure. But it implies that with the ions, the ionic silver, because that is an unstable charge. It's looking like crazy to get something so it can be stable again. Because when any ionized thing is unstable, the outer valence level has been knocked off, and it's looking to shake hands with something and grab up another part and become stable. And that's the action. That's the actual. That's when something happens, you know. And so you're having a dynamic process when it's interacting with something. So, but ionic, it's all very interesting. I'm just intrigued by this. This is just astonishing stuff. I need to do a lot more stuff, and I'm really glad you're bringing
the article. The article you were looking at, is that a long article? Is that in PDF form?
Actually, it is a PDF thing. It's actually, I looked it up under, it's called Ions, Atoms, and Charged Particles by Francis S. Key and George Moss, PhD, down at the bottom. They have a little thing here about them, that there's one guy that's done a lot of, anyway, they're scientist kind of guys, and they have charged.
Well, can you send me a copy of that PDF?
I could do that.
A link to get that PDF?
Yes, I can do that, and I will
do
that right now.
Yeah, I'd like to take a look at that. And did they post any research or footnotes or anything with what
they're
saying?
Yes, they have.
Okay,
they
quoted studies and so on and so forth, and they got maybe footnotes or in the article itself, because this is important. We don't want people just telling us about something. We want people did the research, and they give their proof. Which is in
the
pudding.
These guys did the research and did the proof. Here's this Francis Key guy, is a principal scientist and founder of the Colloidal Science Laboratory, which conducts research on metal colloids. Mr. Key is la-da-la-da Columbia University Network, la-da-la-da-la. And this other Dr. George Mass holds a degree in chemistry from Fordham University in Iowa State University, la-da-la-da, 6 years of la-da-la-da-la. That's at the very bottom thing.
Did we lose you?
No. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you now. We got a dead line for a second, but you're back.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what, John, I'm going to send this to you right now. I'm going to send it away.
Yeah, send it to me. I'll take a look at it. It sounds like something I would want to post. I want to read through it, and I think I'll post it because we need to get this information to people. You know, this may be, to some people, some of this conversation may be a little boring, but I don't know. They should find it exciting because, we need to be careful with our health concerning, you know, especially with what's coming down the pike here with these people, because it appears they're going to come out after us with bacteria, you know. And this is their big thing, you know, is this Ebola, you know.
That's what got
this
my attention.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
John,
we need to be
ready,
prepared.
Okay, this is a PDF. It's called Ions, Atoms, and Charged Particles-Silver Colloids. I will put that in the subject matter and the link that it has to it. It's to a PDF file, and I will do that right now, and hopefully you'll get it. I know you've got a lot of stuff coming away, but if it's going to happen right now, maybe you can capture it. And so.
Oh, yeah, I'll get it. I'll look for it, so I appreciate it. And yeah, Rick, I'm ready to go as soon as we're done with Ron here. So we're done, Ron.
Yeah, I figured you.
Yes, I yield.
I figure you probably need a cool drink or.
Yep, I'm going to get another bottle of water, and I'm going to get some ozone water. I'm going to ozonate it.
We'll be right back with more medical natural health tips with John DeRash after this message.
All righty, bye bye. We'll be right back.
been through. She's been made to suffer for the profit of a few. Storm clouds are out forming. Winds of change now touch our shores. I hear forefathers are crying as the dreams been crucified.
America, America, I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty. America, America, I show my love for you in all that I do.
For my country and for friends and family. Mourning in the ignorance while staying safe within a dream. I will fight for freedom. I die for my country, slaying corporate dynamic. I show my love for thee with strength and loyalty.
Come shake the ground with the sound of revival.
This is the Shake and Wake Radio Network, where the truth is all that matters, and the truth will make you free.
Thank God. He's surely alive.
He's living on the inside.
ShakeAndWakeRadio.com.
You can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns.
Join us every Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, for The Word with John Durant with NationalLibertyAlliance.org. Doing an in-depth Bible study from Revelation and the current time we live in to Genesis. The second hour will feature callers and hosts discussing the scriptures covered and how it speaks volumes in our lives today. The Word with John Durash. Every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. On Shake and Wake Radio. Tune in for The Word.
good evening, depending on where you are in the world.
This is the Harmful Agendas Radio Show
on the Shake and Wake Radio Network.
I'm your host, Tina Lane.
And I'm Christina England, your co-host.
I am an activist and campaigner and the founder of two Facebook groups, Vaccines, the Harmful and Deadly Truth, and Natural and Healing and Food Groups. I campaign and speak out against adverse reactions to vaccinations and drugs, false accusations of shaky baby syndrome, and false imprisonment of the innocent. My interests lie in natural foods and natural healing. My co-host, Christina England.
I'm a research journalist and an author writing on the subject of vaccines and adverse reactions to vaccinations and also shaken baby syndrome. I have written an e-book called Vaccination Cover-Ups That Can Land You Into Jail, and I've written a book with Dr. Harold Bertram called Shaken Baby Syndrome or Vaccine-Induced Encephalitis or Parents Being Falsely Accused. I write regularly on Vaxtruth.com, Liberty Beacon Project, Miss Eco Glam, and Green Med Info. I'm often found on Facebook posting articles and pieces of information for parents. And I'm against the forced imprisonment of innocent men and women. I expose the truth at every opportunity that I can. I believe in the truth, and I believe that parents should be educated. I believe that they should investigate before they vaccinate. By investigation, you can make an informed choice, and an informed choice is a good choice.
So please join us on the Harmful Agendas Radio Show.
The Shake and Wake Radio Network.
Tuesdays at 2 o'clock Eastern Time.
7 p.m. UK Time.
We're looking forward to hearing from all of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Rick. All right, we'll take our next caller. Let's see, we have Eric from New York. Go right ahead, Eric.
Hey, John. Yeah, I didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight, but now I have a whole list of stuff just based on things that your other callers have mentioned, so I'm just going to put my 2 cents in on a whole bunch of little things, and I'll try to get through it quick and make some room for somebody else.
Yeah, maybe talk a little bit about the court watcher thing that you're doing.
Okay, well,
you know, before the caller goes through, I was thinking about something on break, and I just want to toss it out there. because the government wants depopulation so bad, I would definitely try to make your own colloidal silver from a reputable site rather than buy something that's on the market, because what they might start doing is putting a bowler or something. In other words, once they're hip to the fact that we're going to inoculate ourselves with Ebola, using colloidal silver, companies that might sell that stuff, I wouldn't trust it. You follow what I'm saying?
Right, that's why you want to buy a generator, you know, like I bought. I bought a generator. And I'm going to get the information on the generator I bought up there. I'll try to do that
right,
this
because
week.
Because you might get a tainted product. In other words, they might
exactly.
go, aha, guess what we'll
but
do?
But not only
we'll
that, we may not be able to get a supply if things go bad, and you need to have your own supply. You need to have plenty of this stuff. And if four or five people, a couple families or whatever, get together, chip in, and purchase this unit, you know, you can make a whole bunch. You can make cases of this stuff and put it in your closet, then you got it.
Right.
But you also can make as much as you want, and you know it's real and it's pure.
And there are a ton of people connected to National Liberty Alliance and here at Shake and Wake Radio dropping links to how to make it yourself or links to buy a machine. But a lot of people, you know, you can make it yourself. Machines are expensive. But I just wanted to toss that out because they're going to be putting ads all over the place. You can buy colloidal silver. And if it's a company in bed with the Illuminati, you know, you might be getting something to try to make sure that you stay safe, and what you might be getting could be toxic that will, you know. It's just a heads up. I was thinking about that during the break. So God bless you all. Be safe. Nobody here is going to steer you wrong. Everybody's behind John. And go ahead, caller. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, thanks.
No, it's all good. You're fine. That was good information.
Go right ahead, Eric.
Sure. Well, let me just, you know, you mentioned something just now, John. You said if things go bad. So I always kind of like to go back to fundamentals. And I have two or three old sterling silver forks and spoons. And I use them to cook with and stir my food and eat with. And it gives just a trace amount of silver. So if you weren't able to have a machine or if the machine, you know, power goes down or the machine needs to be serviced, you can't get parts. Poor man's solution is sterling silver. Eat with it every meal, and that will give a good deal of silver.
And throw some coins into some water and stick it in the refrigerator.
Absolutely, you can
silver
get a 999. You can get a 999
yeah,
silver. you can get a 999 silver coin or two at the store. You know, for relatively
and,
cheap.
And everybody should have a lot of them, by the way, right now. Everybody should be storing up silver. I like
absolutely.
Junk silver. You know, the silver dollars. But,
yep.
you know, I also have the 0.999 silver also, but that everybody should have, definitely.
Yeah, the 999 you can use for, I mean, kind of if you had to drop it in something edible, that would be the cleanest silver. But
absolutely.
Sterling is good to eat with, so in a situation where a machine wasn't available. But and, of course, you know, your vitamin C wants to be at high levels of 5,000 milligrams a day, which is a lot of vitamin C. So don't forget that, because even if you're taking your oregano and your garlic and your silver, if your vitamin C is low, you may still get sick. So
did you say 5,000?
Yeah, they make.
Yeah.
Do a
yeah,
search.
Lannis.
High dose vitamin C. There are different types out there. They're extremely high dose vitamin C. And we've had experts that have either intravenously or by putting people on a regimen where they fasted and drank lots of liquids and did high-dose vitamin C for 3 or 4 days straight and killed just about any disease that they had.
Yeah.
So there is
again,
a cure
for
everything.
A lot of vitamin C.
But,
that's good. Yeah, I take 1,000
yeah,
milligrams a day, but I think maybe I should pump that up, huh?
Yeah, pump that up at least to two or three for now, and then 5 if things got sticky. And then do want to be advised that you can acidify your system too much with the wrong kind of vitamin C. You'd want it to have it to ascorbate, A-S-C-O-R-B-A-T-E, which is a more assimilatable form of vitamin C, as opposed to ascorbic acid, which is better than nothing. But if you can get the choice, get the mineral ascorbate. instead of the ascorbic acid version, and that won't acidify your system as much, because we know that cancer thrives in an acid environment, and the more you can alkalinize your body, the better. Of course, just drinking a lot of good water, and make sure it's spring water, that the stuff that they sell under the name of Aquafina and Dasani and all that stuff is all municipal treated water, and it's all, you look at the back, and if you look at the back of the bottle, it says added minerals, and they put salt in it.
Right. Caller, we've had a lot of experts that have talked about, when you go to your grocery store, look on the shelf, okay? Look on the shelf at most grocery stores for about a buck a gallon for distilled water, because that's pure water.
Yeah, that's pure water.
You can buy a meter to check it. In other words, there's nothing else in it. But when you buy something like Poland Spring or one of these Dasanis or something, you're getting tap water, and it's got fluoride and all that stuff in it. So distilled, you can always be safe by distilled water. And, you know, I'm going to say something really quick. If you get a chance, do a web search for urine therapy. A few drops under the tongue, it's nature's perfect vaccine. And there's been a lot of talk lately. You're going to find 2, 3, 4 million pages of people who say they cured everything by putting a couple of drops of their own urine under their tongue or a teaspoon in some juice. And I know it sounds crazy, but it's like one of the most, Annie and I did it, we beat cancer. Just do a web search and look at the results. You know, it's an ancient
secret.
We have a
video up on under our health area here on National Liberty Alliance, and it's with a doctor, I can't think of his name, but when I think of it, I'll give his name. But he's been curing cancer for over 30 years, and that's what he did. He extracted something from urine, and that's what he used, and he gave it through injections and cured cancer. 100% of his cases.
Right. Well, we're
now, of
talking
course, there
about,
are cases that he got where they were just,
well,
you know,
if you got it too late,
too far
right?
gone, and that's
well,
that.
What I'm
know.
Talking about, what I'm talking about, I've had so many guests and people on our network and who talked about it, including one of Tina's co-hosts. And if you just do a web search for urine therapy, nature's natural cure, there is something about the numbers, the makeup of your urine has it literally, whatever's wrong with you, when you recycle it through your system, it somehow is telling your body what antigens or antibodies you need to develop. So
kind of like a vaccine.
Right, that's what it is, nature's perfect vaccine.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious, and a teaspoon in some orange juice or whatever you drink, even in some wine, you're not going to taste it, or a couple of drops under your tongue every day.
It's
and
a homeopathic dose.
Yeah, it has cured everything. Everything. People have been to doctors and tried every cure. I mean, people with no matter what disease they had, and then they went and tried this, and they were well in months, gone. So, of course, the big pharma is going to, you might find some negative ads where people are going to say, oh, well, that's it's a waste product, and I wouldn't advise it. But even the Army medicals tell soldiers, drinking urine, and I'm not saying a big glass of urine, I'm saying a small amount. It's never killed anybody, and Annie and I both, we beat cancer, what can I tell you? And if you just do a search, open your mind and look and see what the results are, you're going to see millions who have said that it was the only thing that they tried that cured whatever they had, even Lyme disease.
Amazing what the information age is bringing forward.
Yeah,
it's amazing
what
they
really
try to hide from us.
Exactly. That's what's really sick. Just think of all the people that are dying okay, and have died over the past, half a century for cancer, and yet there's been cures out there for, look at
it's
the
big money.
Laetril alone has been around for a long time.
Right.
Hemp oil.
Annie and I did that too. Vitamin B17 is Laetril.
Right.
You see, the cancer industry is the biggest industry next to pornography. So, they don't want to
right
kill
here,
cancer.
Right.
And
that's
they
right.
want the population, and the Rockefellers are behind all that. So, of course they want you to go to one of their institutes and get radiation and chemo, and it's murderous. They're going to look back on these
times.
They
want to see you die, too, because they inherit your CESQ account. They seize the CESQ account after 90 days, I think it is. So whatever's in your CESQ account after your death, they're making money off it. We're cattle to these people.
Yeah, if they can put you in the hospital, if they can put you in the hospital and run tons of tests and keep you and make you sick and keep you in the hospital, you could own a house that's worth $200,000, and within a few months, if you don't have medical insurance, they're going to take that house and your kids don't get their inheritance. I mean, they're deviant. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they're evil. All right, let's get back to Eric.
So back to the courtroom observation deal. What I would advise everybody listening in your community.
Yeah, we should create some kind of a thing linked alongside with us here on our website with the people who would like to volunteer for courtroom observation, and from time to time, people who are not going to necessarily get into becoming an administrator but want to continue to do things,
right.
And maybe they'll put one day a month into sitting into a courtroom and listening in.
Yeah, John, maybe you could have your web designer just create one page. It would not take very long for someone who knew what they were doing.
Yeah, why don't you give me the nuts and bolts of the page, and then we'll talk about it, and then we'll put something together.
Yeah,
write the words, right? Give me the nuts and the bolts.
Right now?
Oh no! I mean when you can write something down.
Yeah,
send it
off to you.
Yeah,
yep.
You sent me a couple of papers and I've still got them. They're sitting on my desktop
cool.
That one there I'd like to maybe move on a little quick. I don't want to move too quickly because I want to get to. I'd like to really be ready to unfold that page or reveal that page once we're moving into the courts because I don't want to confuse people.
Right. Okay, see, that's crucial is timing. That's why I never push anybody. It seems like you got the plan, you got a map of kind of a strategy already figured out. Just an overview for your listeners. Courtroom Observation Network is a group of people in your community that's going to bind together for several reasons. First of all, it's a response to if anybody has to go to court, everybody goes in with them. Everybody take a pen and a piece of paper, and it really puts the court kind of on edge a little bit to have a large group of people come in and observe the corruption and what they're doing out of the bounds of common law. And so it does two things. It gives you a mutual defense pact with your friends that an assault by the system on one of you is an assault upon all, and you all show up and help each other. And it's also a great mechanism to feed the National Liberty Alliance with information and intelligence on which courts are corrupt and might need further observation. Or, John, this leads me to my next point. Have you considered a letter to the judges like you're doing to the sheriffs?
Well, absolutely. But we're not doing letters to them. We're giving them orders. And
there you go.
I'm
glad you took the firm stand on that.
All the courts in America are corrupt until they get on John's on the common law deal.
Right.
All of them.
And we're going after every judge in America. As a matter of fact, we've already done it once. Now we're going for another campaign. And that's the next campaign. Every state is sending out to all the judges in their states and all of the district courts. This is just the federal, though. And we'll deal with this. You see, we have to push it in the federal because that's where the issue is at. Once the federal finally yields to us, every state will fold like a cheap wallet. We'll just move right in.
And part of getting them to fold, you walked me right into my next point, is this has always worked for me when I've confronted my several local high sheriffs here in New York, major county sheriffs, a couple of them border counties, and I can always kind of get them really squirming, and I don't do this to make confrontational, but at times, you know, I had to be, because they were standing up there and claiming that they were required to uphold the laws of the state of New York. And I said, wait a minute, Sheriff, I said, you took an oath with your right hand to uphold the United States Constitution, which says shall not be infringed and all the other things that it says. And then you took an oath with your other hand to uphold the laws of the state of New York, which are in total opposition to the oath that you took with your right hand to uphold the Constitution. And they get really squirmy, and I think it's important for people to remind them nicely in your letter, hey, don't forget that if you took an oath to uphold the laws of the state, the oath that you took to uphold the Constitution trumps that and takes priority over your oath to uphold the state law every time, and the people will always back you to uphold the Constitution, even if it comes to defying state law. And that's what it's really come down to.
Then the federal government won't give them tanks and machine guns to the local police departments.
Yeah, well, we're going to cut all that off anyway. As a matter of fact, we need to seize that. We're going to talk about a plan at some point.
Yeah, that stuff is
scary. All that equipment needs to go to the militias in those counties. That's where that's got to go to. You know, it may be, you know, wise to, well, look at, you know, we need to get these militias going, and we need training as under the militia. Every one of us needs training. Everyone should have 2 weeks of training and then go once or a couple of times a year or something. But you know, those of us who are in the service, we've already done boot camp, so and maybe in action, so we've got that training. But nevertheless, you
have
to keep up with.
They're going to claim, though, that we're trying to overthrow the United States government, that we're terrorists. No, we are trying to overthrow the
corruption. Well, that's why we're not going to. We're not going to talk too much. Yeah, that's why we don't talk too much about that stuff. You know what I mean? Right. You know, look, when we get in, and that's why we talk about it right now, it makes sense for the sheriff to be in charge of the militia that needs to be reestablished in every county and every state.
Did you know the New York State Constitution requires the funding of militia? Have you read it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not only that, the United States Constitution requires its existence.
And did you know that the New York, well, this is where I met you, John, at the Bob Schultz thing there in Albany,
right.
And they're going to open up the New York State Constitution in 2017 and probably try to pull that out and remove the last few freedoms that we have here in New York.
Look, they could do whatever they want to do. It doesn't matter. We got common law. We got the people opening their eyes and waking up and stepping up, and we still have the U.S. Constitution still in force. And we're going to do it. We're going to do it soon.
Yeah, you make a good point. Recruiting is one of the most important things right now, and I'm just trying to get it as many people. I'm out on the streets. I'm talking to everybody. I'm always mentioning the National Liberty Alliance and trying to get everybody involved. You know, I mean, who does not have a gripe with the government right now? I mean, just the few people that work in it are the only people that are for it.
Can't you see it on the news now? We're going to get news headlines soon on Fox, CBS, NBC. Terrorist group working with ISIS called National Liberty Alliance Group. These people are dangerous. They don't believe in, they're trying to overthrow the United, I mean, these people are liars, man. They'll just grasp at anything.
No, John, you did it smart. You started off your web page with "We are not the sovereign citizen movement," and I thought that was a good separation because a lot of people get kind of conflicted.
Right.
Oh, by the way, contraindicated means you will have an adverse reaction to the, that's telling the EMT or the medical technician or doctor or nurse.
Okay, now I like it. Now that makes sense.
Yeah.
Vaccine and, contraindicated. Okay.
And I'm going to throw a few more things out there quick, and then I'm going to let somebody else get in so I'm not hogging up the, in raw milk, there's a substance called lactoferrin, and it's one of the most powerful antiviral, antifungal, anti-parasite and anti-germ agents that there is, and what it is, it's the substance in the mother's breast milk that. What did you ever wonder why a baby for the first year or two of its life doesn't have to have any vitamin C supplement at the most vulnerable time of its life? Is because of the lacto. There's not a lot of vitamin C coming through the breast milk, but there's a substance called lactoferrin. It's also in the raw milk of the cow, and it's an extremely powerful. Like I said, antiviral, antifungal, anti-germ.
Oh, so is that why they show up with a SWAT team?
Yep.
when people are selling raw milk, because like anything that's good for
we're
us,
dangerous.
They don't want us to have.
Yeah, we're dangerous to them because we're going to keep
people
alive.
It's a major interference to the business of Big Pharma and all the hospitals around here. They have herds of people in. Just, it's unbelievable. And some detoxifiers for heavy metals would be parsley and cilantro. The green, those chewy green, leafy vegetables there are excellent. They cling to the heavy metals and take them out of your system. Also, a cheap way to oxygenate your water is throw just a pinch of baking soda in there, teeny little bit, and you would want to make sure it's non-aluminum and non-irradiated. And then back to one last thing, I think. Two last things. John, were you talking about, when you were talking about communicating by radio, you mentioned shortwave radio now.
Yeah.
Now, do you know shortwave's only for listening. Were you talking about a ham radio for communicating?
You know what? That is what I meant. You see, there's my ignorance in these things.
Okay,
you know?
Now,
I don't know where Gerard's at. He should have been here. Where is he? Is he off today? He should have corrected me by now.
Yeah, because a shortwave is pretty much just like an AM radio, and you have to
ham,
just
ham
listen.
Radios, exactly. Ham radios is what we're talking about. And each state should have a pretty decent unit. And the people, the people amongst us, every state can get together and throw a few bucks together and get a nice unit somewhere in the central part of the state and put their antenna up, and then everyone else could be with small units that could work their way to that tower, and from tower to tower, state to state, and each one of these big towers ultimately can often reach across the entire nation.
Absolutely. Everybody should look into a ham radio, or a cheap way, a poor man's version in the meantime is a CB radio. At least you get a few miles to network with the immediate people in your
county.
Well,
yeah, that's the other thing we're going to get into and talk about. Everyone should have a CB because there is a second form of communications locally, okay,
and
specifically when you're running around as a group and, the people in the county and so on in the next county over, we can have communications as we move around.
And if the grid goes down, don't forget regular mail if that's still moving. And fax machines like telephones do not need power as long as you're not with a cordless. If you have a hard line going into the wall, your power could go down in your telephone, an old school telephone like I'm on right now from the 70s, and a fax machine will still be able to work.
Well, everybody definitely should also have a generator. I mean, these things all cost money, but, we do have a list of things people should have, and we should go up and update it, but a generator is something that people should have, even if it's a small generator.
Yeah,
something
cheap,
just run juice for at least an hour a day. You can get if you can afford it and you get a nice diesel generator, something like that, really very efficient. They can run on a gallon of diesel fuel, you can run, a couple hours. And then depending on the size of diesel, generator you get, you can easily run everything in your house. So if you run your generator a couple hours a day, and then maybe even put some deep cell batteries in, if you got the money for that too. But this is all key stuff. Or even, you can get a solar generator. But you see, the good thing about the diesel generator is when times go bad and people, go off onto the camps, because some people will volunteer for that stuff, but a lot of people are going to die in the very early stages. There's going to be a lot of vacant houses everywhere. And all of those houses are resources for fuel because they all, or most of them, if not all of them, have they heat by oil. And you can go out and retrieve as much oil as you need. House fuel oil is the same as what a diesel generator runs. Same thing. I think it's called number two.
And here's another tip a lot of people don't talk about. When the power goes out, if you don't have a lot of bottled water stocked up, your water heater has got several, depending on the size of it, there's usually a spigot on the bottom of your water heater. If the power went out and your water heater was full because, you took a shower and then it filled back up again, you've got several days worth of water in your water heater even though your tap doesn't work. So,
and don't forget a rain setup. You can cut your gutter and put a big plastic garbage barrel or a big cooler under it and have the rainwater go from your gutter right into the barrel. And depending on the level.
That's against the law, too.
depending on
the government owns the land.
Yeah, look, you can't have a garden. That's against the law. Anything more than two cans of food, it's against the law also. You can't stock any of that stuff up, you know. Anyway, look, we got other people on. We only got a few minutes left.
John, one last quick thing I wanted to throw out real quick. A cheap solution to a generator, if you don't have one, is go down to the auto parts store and get an inverter where you can plug it into the lighter of your car and then plug in a regular AC appliance and get at least a few lights or some type of, a stove cooking setup running right off your car is a great way, and they're like $20 or $30.
There you go. That's a great idea. Great idea.
Okay, see you, John.
Okay, thanks.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. You too. All right, let's go to our next caller. We got a few more callers left. It is getting late, so we're going to have to push it along. New York Tammy, go right ahead.
Yeah, John.
Yes.
Hi, Tammy Hollins, New York.
How are you doing, Tammy?
I'm doing good. The first question is, I needed to find out because I put in a couple of times to ask a question. There was a couple of times my calls kept dropping. I don't know. I was on the line a couple of times, and just out of nowhere, the call would just drop. So then I'd have to call back and then re-put in for a Q&A.
Well,
so
got
like two or three drop calls tonight.
Two things to solve the problem. First, you can try, if you go back to our Monday night page, you know, a Monday call or the weekly call page, there's new instructions there on calling in. So someone who has a problem with dropping, they can try calling a different number, and that might help.
Okay.
Now, if that doesn't help them, there's only one other way that I know in order for you to get onto these calls without going through the regular phone companies, because the problem I'm hearing is with the phone companies.
Okay.
And it may be because you're tapping, and they may target, you know, these kind of things, the conference callers, because they have the special numbers. They may be targeting that and dropping those people so they don't drop the other people. Because you were coming through, usually 9, 10 o'clock is still kind of pushy, and even especially on the West Coast, you know, it's still a lot of activity, a lot of traffic on the phones. But the other way to beat it, and I never have a problem, I never drop, as you can tell, and that's to get Skype phone. And I'll tell you what, everybody should get a Skype phone. I'll tell you, it's great for numerous things. Just to Skype back and forth to people is great. Moving files, getting into conferences. You can get up to 24 people onto a call on Skype.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as long as you have a good internet connection, you get a Skype phone, I mean, you're on. That's it. And it only costs $69 a year. Okay, that's with the phone number. It's cheaper if you don't get the phone number. It's like $39 a year, and you can call anywhere. But you don't have a phone number to call in for the extra few bucks, $20 or whatever it is. I think it's $69 altogether. You get a phone number, okay? And you get to choose, you know, you get to pick, of course, your area code. And so you get this phone number, and you can make calls out. It's got the caller ID on it, so, you know, your ID will show up here. Now, the only other problem you could have is that your call drops, and that could happen because of your internet connection. And some people who have or complain about their internet connection, they don't realize maybe, is they can call their provider and upgrade. Because when you go to Verizon or you go to your cable company or whoever you get your internet connection from, when you get these packages that they sell, which all of us usually go for, okay, they put the cheapest connection in that package. So once you get into that package and you got your service going, you want to make the call and upgrade to the best, and it'll charge you maybe an extra $20 a month, but it gives you a higher speed, more broadband, and you don't drop. Again, I rarely drop.
That was the first. This is the first time that ever happened to me, like just continuously through the night. This is the first time this has ever happened because I've never.
Well, next time you get dropped, next time you get dropped, get that other number. So when you get dropped, come back in on the other number.
Yeah, I'm going to check that. Okay, now the second thing, someone today called me from Orange County, Sarah, and she was having, she wanted to do some court stuff. Maybe something was going on with her in court. So I wanted to bring her name up because I did recommend that she come onto the call tonight. She said she had tried to contact Sheila, which I did share that with Sheila already, and she couldn't get her. I don't know why, because I've always contacted Shill and got her. But then she also told me she spoke with Cynthia. So what I wanted to do was to find out, was Cynthia on that line, because I know Sheila was, and then Sarah, and then let her present to us here on the line, on the conference call, what the situation was, to see if anybody had any recommendations. Like I share with her, I'm just learning the common law, and I normally tell people I'm, you know, a practitioner, but I am a new practitioner of the common law. So there are some things that I know and that I'm trying my own self, but as far as actually going into court, and I don't mind going with someone to court, I don't, if they're in this area or close, I don't have a problem with that, but I really can't do a whole lot of presentation before the magistrate, you know, or anybody else, because I'm new to this by a few months and I'm learning this, right? So I'm not sure if she can.
You there? Did you drop again?
I think we lost Tammy.
I think
we
lost Tammy.
I still got you. We're still on air. That's Tammy.
All right, well,
right?
Let me push forward. We'll see if she comes back. But right now we're running out of time. We only got 6 minutes, so. Well, no, I got to go to sleep. I gotta get to sleep. I got to get up in the morning. So, okay, Hawaii, how you doing? Kalama. Aloha.
Aloha. I just wanted to say it's very refreshing to see that the National Liberty Alliance is covering the whole person and the whole society. I cover news every day, and I'm on top of this Ebola situation, and it's very convoluted. But I want to say this. A colloidal silver of the alternative healing methods is the one that's mentioned most in the various reviews that I've done. And so that is
and
very right on.
And the great thing about that, the great thing about the silver, it's the easiest to take. It's not the, you know, some of this stuff is hard to take, you know, like the MMS is difficult to take. But it's very easy to take. You can get plenty of it. You can make your own, and it's cheap, and it's just great. So it's so multi.
And I would also mention that I did have an opportunity to use it, and it was for an invasive species in Hawaii, recluse spider, which is in the Southwest and the South and South America and other places, to be forewarned of. For 3.5 months, I dealt with a problem, and I used colloidal silver as one of the main things I used externally to heal myself, and the doctors could do nothing. And so I'm in support of, and I think this is wonderful, because to be whole and represent ourselves as sovereign beings and be whole within ourselves and represent our republic, it's good to be in health. And I'm very happy that you're doing that.
Absolutely.
On other topic, very quickly, on other topics, we're going through a lot in Hawaii to some degree. It's been shared generally and also directly with you, John, and we're very much moving ahead in Hawaii, and what's very exciting is we have a history in Hawaii of having the rights of the sovereign kingdom of Hawaii being denigrated and actually Queen Liliuokalani being imprisoned illegally and the illegal raising of the flag and an unofficial illegal overthrow of the Hawaiian kingdom. It's very exciting because what's happening in Hawaii, and I'd like to share this, and then I'm done. We are meeting and trying to get together the diverse factions of people who want to retain their sovereign nature of Hawaii and their original kingdom and constitutional status. They had their own constitution. And even though Hawaii is debated as being a state in the United States in so much as we were illegally overthrown as an already existing recognized kingdom in the world. They had money. They had a navy. They were recognized for their ambassadors to other countries. And they those are three main things to recognize a nation as a nation. And so under this common law, I just want to share that it's moving ahead, that one of the main groups called ATA, that's the code name, is working with concepts from National Liberty Alliance and Common Law and the Grand Jury. And so I'm very thankful you exist, and we are one, and we're working ahead. And that's all I have to say. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, Kalama. Aloha, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, we got time for just maybe one more caller. Pretty much all the rest of the callers in the queue have already been up once or twice already. So, Jay, go right ahead. You've been up once, but you got another minute. If you
hey, John,
quick, we can get Sheila on.
This is John from Jay from North Carolina. I just wanted to say we give no medical advice. This is for your educational and informational purposes only.
Entertainment.
people giving you advice.
We don't care about any of that silliness. So.
Another thing I wanted to say was on Amazon, you can get that little handheld ham radio for $29.
Right, there you go, yes.
I got the E-Tech, but there's also one called Bofang. But go to Amazon.com and put in ham radio, and they got one for $29. The other thing I wanted to say is if you feel like a round peg around a bunch of square holes and you want to watch an inspirational video, I don't necessarily endorse the website that's connected to it, but it's called the Wayseer's Manifesto. And if you want to watch an inspirational video, it's kind of like a music video. It's on YouTube, and it's called the Wayseer's Manifesto. Everybody ought to go check that out. It's really inspiring.
Okay. Great.
All right.
All right.
Good night,
thanks,
everybody.
Jay. Good night. Maybe we can get a half a minute or so with who's next? Sheila from New York. You got a half a minute. Go right ahead.
Yeah, you put a little drop up under your tongue.
Hello, you know, Sheila.
Hello.
Yeah, you got it.
Yes,
go
ahead. I'm sorry. I was telling someone else. Yes, I have two quick things. Ebola, they're
saying...
Just
so you know, we're running close. So we're seconds away
yes,
from close.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
That
Ebola?
Is contracted from monkeys. And humans can't get it. Now, they have Ebola-like disease that they are giving people. Secondly,
right.
Can I talk with you more regarding the other issue? Maybe
oh, yeah.
tomorrow or Wednesday.
Try to give me a call tomorrow morning. Let's talk. You know, I got to get out of here by 1:30, 1 o'clock. Let's say 1 o'clock, I got to run. But give me a call late morning or something. We could talk.
Okay,
okay,
I'm finished. Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
All right. We've reached the end of our program here. I appreciate everyone coming. Thanks for being here. We'll be back next Monday. Don't forget our Bible study on Saturday for those interested in the Word. Lord willing, see you next time. Thank you. Good night. When we first begun.